both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 77 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Worry-Free Vacations. Friends and families remember the lives of two Lamar children as they were laid to rest. Funerals for 4-year-old Grace Headley and 5-month-old Gabriella Meyer were held yesterday afternoon. Grace was remembered as someone who loved everyone and liked dressing up as a princess. Gabriel was referred to by his father as an awesome miracle. The children's mother, Rebecca Amaya, is charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder for allegedly drowning the children in a bathtub last week. Powers County Sheriff's officials say Amaya was taken to the state hospital in Pueblo yesterday after she collapsed in her cell. Police in Lakewood are seeking a suspect in a shooting over the weekend at 6th and Vance. The suspect, Stuart Gaskin, is a suspect in the shooting death of Richard L. Farley, who was found dead in a stairway outside an apartment after neighbors reported an argument at the apartment and hearing gunshots. Gaskin is described as 5 feet 10 inches, weighing 175 pounds. He has a shaved head and thin black mustache. He's also said to have a panther tattoo on his right bicep, and he's missing some of his upper teeth. He's considered armed and dangerous. Anyone with information asked to call police. A state trooper has been fired following a charge of public indecency after allegedly performing a sex act in a public place. Mark Bills, with the Colorado State Patrol since January 1999, was cited by Adams County deputies who were patrolling the area for engaging in oral sex with another man along a bike trail in Adams County. Bills was fired for conduct that was inconsistent with agency tradition and values, according to the CSP. Both men go to court on November 17th. There's been another surprising turn of events in the Capitol murder case of alleged sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad. Kathy Culpepper is there.
Alleged sniper John Muhammad has asked that his attorneys be reinstated. At the beginning of the trial, Muhammad requested that his 3 defense attorneys be dismissed and that he represent himself. This morning, after a conference with Judge Leroy Millett and his attorneys, he told the judge that he thought it was in his best interest to let his rehire his 3 attorneys and let them represent him instead of he acting as his own attorney. So far, Muhammad's questioning has been rather rambling and seems strange questions, more or less, something that doesn't seem related to the case at times. So it was painfully apparent that he really did not know what he was doing as an attorney. Of course, he's not been trained as one. Kathy Culpepper, Virginia Beach.
Muhammad's alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, will stand trial next month for his alleged role in the shooting spree that gripped the nation's capital for 3 weeks last October. A Pentagon spokesman says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was just trying to stimulate some thought and raise some questions about the terror war in a recent memo to the Pentagon brass. Spokesman Lawrence DeRita told Pentagon reporters that the memo was designed to remind military leaders about the constant sense of urgency that's required to fight the terror war.
It's a constant sense of urgency. It's what he does. He injects urgency, he asks questions, and he gets people thinking about things, and that's what this memo hopefully will do.
Citing mixed results so far, Rumsfeld asked whether the U.S. is doing enough to win the global war against terrorism. A copy of the Rumsfeld memo is posted on the USA Today website. In that memo, Rumsfeld says the U.S. has not yet made truly bold moves in the global terror war. Congress is turning up the heat on the Pentagon over the controversial remarks of a senior military official. Army Lieutenant General William Boykin caused a furor with recent comments that painted the U.S.-led war against terrorists as a battle of Christianity versus Satan. Texas Democratic Congressman Jim Turner is not happy.
I think the important thing is for the administration and the Department of Defense to make it very clear their disapproval of the comments that the general made.
General Boykin has apologized for public comments accusing Islamic radicals of trying to destroy America because the U.S. is a Christian nation. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has not condemned Boykin's comments, but National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice has noted that President Bush does not view the war on terror as a war between religions. Virginia Republican John Warner, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, says Boykin should be temporarily reassigned. Secretary Rumsfeld said yesterday there will be an internal military investigation into Boykin's remarks. The number of mentally ill Americans in jail or prison outnumbers those in mental hospitals. That's just one of the findings in a study conducted by Human Rights Watch. The human rights group claims as many as 1 in 5 of the 2.1 million Americans in jail or prison is seriously mentally ill. It concludes that jails and prisons have become the country's default mental health system. In sports, the Boston Bruins overwhelmed the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 last night. The Avs take on the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets play another preseason game tonight in Houston. Nuggets are 4-2 in the preseason. And the World Series continues tonight in Miami between the New York Yankees and the Marlins. Yanks lead that series 2-1. Worry-free vacations, air and hotel packages to Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, and Las Vegas. Save up to 50% on packages. Call your travel pro or see worryfreevacations.com. Restrictions apply. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony's shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is the service of the two John Elway Nissan showrooms, and we got a clearing problem. Injury accident 47th and Peoria. 47th and Havana should be just about out of there. We have a new injury accident at Federal and Evans. At John Elway Nissan showrooms, get a 2004 for just over $14,000. Nobody does Nissans like John Elway. New 2004s at 03 prices. Go to John Elway South and North for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Record highs again today. We did break the record yesterday, and we should this afternoon with sunshine and a high of 84. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 50. Another hot day Thursday, mostly sunny, 83. But finally, much cooler by Friday, mix of clouds and sun. Little breezy with a high of 59. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 77 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Later in the broadcast, we are going to be joined by David Marinus. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post reporter who has a new book out about Vietnam and America, October 1967. He has been Bill Clinton's biographer. He wrote a wonderful biography called First in His Class. That I read and that I thought was really illuminating. And he's going to be joining us a little bit later tomorrow. Twyla Thorpe, the choreographer. She's written all about creativity. Learn it and use it for life. Next week, Ann Garrels from NPR, Naked in Baghdad. She almost didn't come back alive. Nigel Hamilton, Bill Clinton's new biographer. He's an Englishman. He has done a biography of JFK. The one on Bill Clinton is highly controversial. And we just had word today that we will be joined by Deepak Chopra. I think he's going to be live in studio early November. I think November the 7th. So for those of you who are Deepak Chopra fans, and I'm always intrigued by what he does. And he's a huge fundraiser for public television because his books are so popular. I hope they're more than wishful thinking. We'll grill him sufficiently on it to find out how we can live longer and happier and all of our dreams can turn true and love can descend on our doorsteps and every other good thing that we want. Deepak Chopra, I'm sure, will give us a roadmap. So that's coming up in November. We have lots and lots coming up. If you missed Judy Collins yesterday, we're going to have that up on the website in a day or two. So she was great. She was really fun. And I just talked to the executive editor, Charlie Montgomery, of the National Enquirer to find out what's the latest scoop on Rush. because some of their reporters are going around saying, hey, there's going to be a part three. Well, there's not going to be a part three in this coming National Enquirer. Okay? So save your horses for that. But probably in a week, not the coming new edition, which we usually are able to find on Fridays here in Denver. You won't see anything about Rush in the coming Friday edition of the National Enquirer. But if they can nail everything down the week following, and he wouldn't give me too much of a, you know, he wouldn't give me too much of a heads up. He wouldn't give me too much of a headline on what the juicy part three is. But apparently it's pretty juicy. So keep your eyeballs peeled, not this Friday, but the Friday following. And we will try to have him on in advance of whatever the National Enquirer has to reveal. Remember now, it's the National Enquirer breaking the story. Here's where the National Enquirer and these tabloids got legitimacy. During the O.J. Simpson trial, they pay. You know, good, bad, indifferent, they pay. Not a great thing for journalism, but they pay sources. Michael Kinsley, who runs Slate Magazine, an online magazine, and is a pretty well-respected magazine editor, said, hey, the tabloids, you can believe 80% is true and 20 isn't. You got to figure out which is the 80 and which is the 20. But when they are taking on a public figure and when they copyright the story and when they actually tell you, then when they byline the reporters, you have some idea that maybe this is a legitimate story. But certainly a guy as rich as Rush, you would never go with that kind of information because he could just sue the bejesus out of you and you would just want to save yourself all of that grief. So I figured they had to be pretty solid or they never would have gone with that story. And then later it came out that the National Enquirer had been sitting on it for about 2 years. And when there was now a criminal investigation in progress, then they felt safe. They got additional information. They felt safe that they could go forward with the story. In last week's edition of the National Enquirer, the housekeeper's attorney said, hey, if it weren't for the National Enquirer, Rush's life might not have been saved. In other words, he was crediting the National Enquirer with outing Rush and, as a result, possibly saving his life, forcing him into rehab. I don't think he would have gone. He's gone twice before and unsuccessfully. And I don't think you can do these quick rehabs, 24, 48 hours, where they just get it out of your system, but psychologically you're still addicted. I don't know how that happens. So in any event, we'll bring you more about whatever's going on for Rush. We're certainly wishing him well. I mean, I don't want to sound more gleeful than I am. I mean, this is a guy who's had a lot of problems. But he's been so nasty to a lot of people that it's hard to get your wimpathy in gear. 303-382-1150. However, there's a succession of people filling in for him. And I invite you to come over. If you're a Ditto head, if you're typically a Rush listener, come over here and listen to live radio. The Rush Show, even in Rush's heyday, on the Walmart across the way is tape delayed, what we call in the business tape delayed. In other words, they tape it when it's live, and then they delay it and run it, you know, several hours later. So when you're listening to that show, it's not, you can't call in because it's already aired. The show's already really over. So you in Denver cannot call in. It's old. It's if there had been a breaking story or some new information between the time the show aired, and you're not going to get it. You have to wait till the next day. So come on over here where it's live, where it's local, where it's real radio, not simply the consolidated, homogenized stuff that you get at the Walmart across the way. I love this story. Are you a Liza Minnelli fan? Liza Minnelli is being sued by her almost ex-husband, David Guest, of questionable, we don't know if this relationship was ever really physically consummated or consummé, because I think maybe David Guest is, how shall we put it delicately, possibly not entirely heterosexual, but we don't really know this for sure. It's just that his last girlfriend was 80 years old, all right? Do I need to say more? And he was in his 40s and she was in her 80s. It paints a picture. Well, guess what? He's now suing Liza Minnelli for divorce, claiming that while they lived together, she used to beat him up, that she would go into alcohol-induced rages and beat him so badly that he, quote, suffers from virtually constant pain, constant unrelenting pain in his head. According to his lawsuit, Ms. Minnelli, Liza Minnelli, gained physical strength. I mean, wasn't she in a wheelchair for a long time from drinking vodka? And would routinely turn that strength against him with her fists. Mr. Guest's complaint filed in the state Supreme Court in Manhattan details several instances in which he said he was beaten. His attorney is the famous Raoul Felder. They expect that the formal divorce papers are going to be filed within a week or so. She, Minnelli, Liza Minnelli, has not yet filed a response in court. But in the papers so far submitted in court, David Guest described himself, quote, as a world-renowned event and concert producer-promoter. Well, you know what? No one ever heard of him until he married Liza Minnelli and then tried to capitalize on that in every way possible. I mean, here she was barely among the awake, and he propped her up, put toothpicks in her eyelids, and then tried to get an MTV show, which was canceled after 2 seconds, because they were all impossible to deal with. He said about his soon-to-be ex-wife, whom he is trying to, if he's a renowned concert producer, Mr. I'm famous the world over, he's trying to get $10 million out of her. And here's what he says about his soon-to-be ex-wife. He described her as someone, David Guest described Liza Minnelli as someone whose, quote, career had been eclipsed. She was an alcoholic, overweight, unable to be effectively merchandised, could not get insurance to perform concert dates on stage and in any other artistic media. Well, if she's in such pathetic shape, what does he want to grab $10 million out of her? She's going to need every dime she can get if she can't perform, if she can't get insurance for her performances. In the suit, which is asking for $10 million, Mr. Guest said he, quote, limited his actions to trying to avoid the blows by crossing his arms over his face and shouting repeatedly, Liza, stop it! Stop it, Liza, stop it. Should he get $10 million? Oh, and they got married before 1,100 guests at Marble Collegiate Church in Manhattan in 2002. It was quite an extravaganza. And I think that this is an omen for the marriage that was to follow, but Michael Jackson was the best man. Aunt Elizabeth Taylor was the maid of honor. Carol Channing, who was a guest, compared the whole thing to, quote, when they opened the World's Fair. So I'm asking you, now David Guest's last girlfriend was 80 years old when he was in his 40s. There are rumors that he's not, how you say, entirely heterosexual, or perhaps not even at all. We don't know. This was a marriage, you could say, possibly of some convenience. He describes himself as a world-renowned producer, promoter. I mean, he said that Liza Minnelli beat him up, but at the same time he says she's an alcoholic, overweight, unable to be effectively marketed. So why should she give him $10 million? Would you like to comment on this lawsuit? 303-382-1150. And Ethel Kennedy is going to sell the family mansion, Hickory Hill, in McLean, Virginia, which was the epicenter of a lot of Kennedy politics, dazzling parties, at a time when it was all considered Camelot. It was the Fable family retreat. It's on the market. There are 6 acres. It's 13 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms, in case you want to buy it. She's 75 now, and she wants to decamp to Hyannis, Massachusetts, and a lot of people are sad that it's going on the market, but the real estate people in the area are salivating, and it's on the market for about $25 million. So if you want to add to that $15 million that David Guest is probably not going to get out of Liza Minnelli, you could put that together and buy the fabled Ethel and Robert Kennedy mansion, the fabled mansion, 13 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms. I don't know, a lot of bad history there, too, as well as the epicenter for a lot of Kennedy parties. And guess what? Bobby Kennedy bought it from his brother JFK in 1957 for $125,000. In 1957, he paid $125,000 for it. It's now worth $25 million. Well, that's a nice little appreciation. Okay, in the paper today, I'm looking at the paper, and I see a front-page story on the Rocky. And I can't believe my eyes. Here is a woman whose husband was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. He died from the injuries that he suffered in a motorcycle accident. But before disconnecting him from life support, the soon-to-be widow had a bright idea. And that was she was going to harvest his sperm because he always wanted a child. Now, I hate to sound horrible, and I'm sure I probably do to some of you. And, you know, when you are a grieving widow, you want to perpetuate the husband that you no longer have. And one way to do that, I guess, is to have a child. But I want to ask you this question. Knowing in advance that there is no father for that child, A, is that fair to the child? And B, is that selfish of you? To have a child knowing full well going into the pregnancy, if that's what she's going to do with the husband's sperm, I'm sure she's not going to put it up on the mantle with his, possibly with his ashes, simply to gaze on it in ecstasy. She had the presence of mind to harvest his sperm before they pulled him off of life support He was declared brain dead this week after a motorcycle accident. She hopes to have her husband's child after having his sperm preserved. Now, she is the grieving widow. It has to be difficult. It has to be difficult to make the decision to pull him off life support. But isn't it selfish to have a child? Is that fair to the child? To go in knowing that the child is effectively deprived of a father. And the child is sort of an artifact of someone no longer with us. I mean, there's going to be all this emotional baggage heaped on that child before the child is even born. 303-382-1150. I mean, I don't mean to add to her grief, and I hope she's not listening. But here she is, having the presence of mind to harvest the sperm before they pull him off before they disconnect the life support. I think it's not fair to the kid, and I know she's grieving, and maybe she's not thinking clearly. But I think it's rather selfish to be perfectly honest. Kashmir, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Kashmir.
I think you need to think out the stories before you do them. This one just totally threw me off. You said that you think it's unselfish. I mean, you think it's selfish for the mother to do this. But at the same time, what about the millions of women that get artificially inseminated?
I think it's selfish of them too.
Exactly.
Yeah. If there's no husband in the picture, and they know from the start that they're depriving their child of one significant parent, I think that's not fair to the kid.
Okay. I'm gonna finish for you just because you always be talking about the whole gay relationship type deal. Well, don't you think that's the same deal? You know what I mean?
It's a little different, but I have to think that through. I think that I would say if you've got two moms, two dads, you're putting the kid into a situation that may be very loving, but you're putting them into a very different situation for most of their schoolmates. And what I would say about gay parents is I would think the first option for them would be to adopt. It's better to give a kid two of anybody or even one of anybody than to have a kid in an orphanage or to be in foster care or whatever. But I think that's the first place to start. And I haven't really examined too closely the question of is it fair to deprive a kid of you are giving them two parents, but you're giving them two parents of the same sex, so I don't know. I don't know about that. I haven't decided on that one yet. But I don't think it's fair for a single parent a woman who feels her biological clock is ticking away and she wants the experience. She wants a pet. She wants the experience of motherhood, and she knows going in she's not going to give that kid a father. I don't think that's fair to the kid.
But that's not fair to that woman because you're saying that this woman, just because her current husband died, that she can't raise a child and eventually find somebody else and still have that same environment. That's not fair. I mean, I just think that, I think it's actually a good thing that she wants to keep her husband's spirit alive in a certain way. I think that's a beautiful thing.
So you don't think it's unfair to the kid going in? I mean, maybe she won't find another husband. Maybe she will. We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that exactly. Since we don't know it, all we can do is go by faith. And she has faith that, that she'll be able to manage to raise this child. And there's many single parents out here. I'm living proof that, you could do it on your own if you have to.
Was there a mother in the picture, Kashmir? There had to be a mother in the picture.
Oh, no doubt. There's a mother picture, but at the same time.
Are you telling me that are you a single parent right now?
Yeah.
All right, but there was a mom in the picture and something happened. You didn't go into this saying, I'm just going to be a single parent here.
No, but at the same time, these are the things that happen in life. These things just really happen.
Well, they happen, but it's another when going into it, you're not going to have a father for that kid.
Right, but either way it goes, you have to prepare yourself and you have to do what you have to do to raise this child, whether you knew or not. And I'm just saying that if one woman can raise it when a husband dies unexpectedly, I'm quite sure that a woman can raise her child the same way, knowing her husband's going to die.
I think it's a different deal. I see what you're saying, but I'm not saying a single woman can't do it or a single parent can't do it, but it is better for the kid to have mom and dad in the picture. There's no question that it's better. And if it happens that one of them fades away once the child is conceived or has been delivered, that's one thing. But when you know going into it that there is only going to be one parent for the foreseeable future, I don't think that's fair to the kid. Save the sperm until you've got a husband on. Save the sperm until you have a husband to go with it. I thank
how
you for
happy.
The what? What?
One more question. Thing. How happy would the child be though, knowing that the mother raised him without a father there?
I don't get your question. I think it's unfair to the kid.
I'm just saying, like, if the mother brings the child to the world and as years go by, I'm quite sure this child is going to be happy to know that my mother, I'm here. I'm born.
So I
got all my hands and I'm here and I'm doing me.
But Kashmir, if the child is unborn, it's never going to know that it wasn't here. It wasn't born.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, though, this is just another life. I think life is a beautiful thing.
Life is a beautiful thing, but
you know, that no more life can come from that. I mean, you know, grandparents and the whole scene. You know, there's a lot of people.
I know. He could be a Nobel Prize winning somebody. But still, it's better. I don't know. I think it's kind of selfish myself. But you and I differ on this one. You brought some good points, though, Kashmir. I thank you for doing it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
One side of us says gloating about Greg Dobbs being named Denver's best talk show host by Westword is wrong. The other side of us says, why not? Lucky for us, we listen to both sides. AM 1150, KNRC.
Trying to deal with your many different insurance needs is like trying to navigate through an insurance jungle. There's auto and home insurance, plus health and life insurance. After trying to contact all these different insurance carriers, you feel like a caged animal. Well, now you can escape that jungle maze online. NQS will come to your rescue with the most competitive insurance quotes from some of the nation's leading insurance companies. This free service is yours in minutes online at NQS.com. Using their Colorado and nationwide resources, NQS.com will get your free quotes pronto. Just fill out a short, easy information form and that's it. Soon you'll have your free quotes from companies that'll compete with each other for your insurance business. You'll save time, trouble, and money. NQS. It's nice, quick, and simple. Log on now to NQS.com and get out of the insurance jungle. NQS.com, helping millions of folks since 1989.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes, then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Hotwire.com.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Cause after he built the house,
what about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Denver's job picture is in the dumps. Just last year, the city lost 23,000 jobs. If you're tired of our down economy, join Mayor John Hickenlooper and Denver City Councilman Doug Linkhart at the Jumpstart Denver Economic Forum tonight, October 22nd, at the Park Hill Golf Course. The event starts at 5:30 p.m., and the public is invited to provide ideas for getting Denver's economy moving again. For information on tonight's Jumpstart Denver Forum, go to jumpstartdenver.com or call 720-865-8000. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:28 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Former Clinton biographer David Marinus, Washington Post writer, reporter, editor, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, will be joining us later in the broadcast today. He's got a new book out. We'll be talking about that. And we're talking about a number of things. First of all, we're talking about David Guest, who's married to Liza Minnelli, and he's suing her for $10 million because he thinks he said she tried to beat him up. So is he going to get that $10 million? What do you think? 303-382-1150. Then you've got the woman here whose husband died in a tragic motorcycle accident, and before they disconnected the life support, they found someone to harvest his sperm or harvest his testicles or do something. And she would, you know, they were soulmates and high school sweethearts, and she wants to have his child. She wants some way of him to live on. I guess I can understand the impulse, and I'm sure I sound hard-hearted, but gosh, is this fair to the child to have a kid going in, knowing in advance that there's the father is not going to be in the picture? 303-382-1150. Now, maybe she'll meet somebody else down the line, maybe she'll marry somebody else down the line, but in those formative years, there's no dad. There'll be, maybe there'll be grandparents, but no dad. Is that, am I being too cruel here? 303-382-1150. It strikes me that you have a lot of women who feel their biological clocks ticking away, tick-tocking away, and a lot of them have, with turkey baster in hand, have ambled down to the Nobel Prize-winning sperm bank to get themselves inseminated so that they cannot be denied the experience of having a child. But what they're effectively doing is bringing the child into the world of single parenting. Is that fair to the kid? I've long said, no, it's not. It's really not fair to the kid. In an ideal circumstance, it's good for the kid to have a mom and a dad. Now, sometimes things happen. Sometimes couples get divorced after the child has arrived. Sometimes there's a death in the family. Sometimes people, you know, abandon each other. I mean, there are a lot of things that can happen, but you start out with the mom and the dad. And here are cases where, starting out, there's only going to be one parent. 303-382-1150. We now have the technology to do these things. You don't necessarily have to be alive anymore to have a child. They harvested this guy's testicles. And then they found a Southern California sperm bank where it's all going to be banked, and you hope that they keep everything at the right temperature, etc., etc., etc. Tyrone calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing? I really enjoyed listening to your show.
Thank you.
I actually have two things I want to... I'm going to make a comment. I want to ask you a question, okay?
Yeah.
This thing with Nas Vanelli and the whole thing about the sperm and having babies when a guy's passed and gone, I think we far too often take personal issues and make them out of a public buffet. I really think we never come to a heartfelt individual decision doing that. And I think if each and every one of us, I mean, this guy, Nas Vanelli, quite naturally, you know, I mean, he's a gold digger. Women are gold diggers. You got gold digging man. You know, we all know about that. But I think far too often we take personal issues and just smear them. But another question I have, I'm dealing with a problem. I want your opinion because I really respect your intelligence, okay? But my fiance, she and I are going through this problem, okay? She has a Confederate flag tattoo, all right? Which I feel she needed to remove, okay? Her mom thinks she doesn't because her dad has passed and she got it when she was 14 when she was with her dad. So she feel like, you know, it's a symbol of honoring her dad, so forth, so on. You know, now it's causing a lot of problems with me, all right? And I have mixed feelings about it, but then at the same time, like I told her, I can't continue to consider her my fiance. She can't take off her Confederate flag. You know, and I don't know what to do. You know, it's crazy.
That's a good one, Tyrone. That's very good. How long have you known this woman?
Well, we've been dating now for about a year and a half. You know, but her family, her mom is like, you know, I mean, her mom, number one, she don't want to date an African-American, number one.
She's not African-American, Tyrone.
She's a Caucasian.
She's right? Caucasian.
But her mom, she's just total off the hip. You know, she's just out there, okay? So I ain't tripping on that. That's not even an issue with me. How mom feels. I wish we could be friends, but apparently we can't, all right? But she just feel like, you know, she don't want to take this thing off, and I don't feel like I could actually go through after getting married if she don't. You know, and I feel I'm right, you know?
Tyrone, we're going to put it out there and see how people respond to that. That's a pretty interesting question. You know what my first hit is?
What?
How old are you, first of all?
I'm 33.
Have you ever been married before?
No.
Has she ever? How old is she?
She's 29.
Has she ever been married before?
No.
I'm thinking maybe you ought to rethink this.
I don't know.
I'm thinking maybe you ought to rethink this, Tyrone, because I think the Confederate flag might be a symbol for a whole lot of other problems. That's what I'm thinking. And you're already going into this thing with a mother-in-law who hates you. So if you have children, maybe the mother-in-law will come around, but she'll do everything she can to sink the relationship because she can't stand you and she doesn't want her daughter marrying you for whatever the reasons, whether racial or other reasons. And so then you've got the daughter-in-law who's pulled, or the daughter who's pulled in two directions from the father who's no longer among us, but she memorializes him with this Confederate flag, which only insults you, and the mother who doesn't. I don't know, Tyrone. I think that the market for really interesting men is huge, and there's so many more women around and so few interesting men. They're
going to
start bringing you casseroles the minute they know you're back out on the market, Tyrone. That's all I'm telling you.
But I love this woman.
I know, but love, love, love. The divorce rate's 50%, Tyrone. And I'm just going to quote you Lily Tomlin. And Lily Tomlin said, no matter how cynical I get, I still can't keep up.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know what to do. My mom and her have a real great relationship, you know.
Well, I'm gonna suggest that you call Dr. Laura, who will give you a better read on this than I can. But I'm giving you my read, Tyrone. I know you think you love her, but I think you better let this thing play out for a while longer before you hop to the altar.
All right, thanks, man.
You're welcome. But I would say there's some problems here, and the Confederate flag is only symbolic of other problems. That would be my guess, knowing nothing about, having met neither you nor your beloved. But I'm wishing you all the best, Tyrone. Keep listening, and let's see how other people respond to it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He's got the love blues. 303-382-1150. Does anybody want to respond to that? Tyrone? Golly. You know, there are a million interesting women. I'm telling you, there are three single straight men in the whole universe. And a lot of interesting women, and having lived in San Francisco, where some of these guys could not, they moved to San Francisco from places where they could not get a date unless they cruised laundry rooms of apartment buildings on the night before the weekend. And now they come to San Francisco, and they are acting like pashas, making three dates a night and breaking two of them. And I don't think it's a whole lot different in Denver either. So, find somebody who's not a problem going in, unless you really want to. If you have problems going in, I think they don't get better, do they? They get worse. I don't know. I've never been married, so what do I know about this? 303-382-1150. So what we're talking about here is a woman who had the presence of mind, and because they were high school sweethearts, and when they, the moment they laid eyeballs on each other, they knew they were going to be soulmates and together for life, and they laid eyeballs on each other very early in life. They were quite young when they met each other. Now he is, and they've only been married since 2002, and now he dies as a result of a motorcycle accident, and she has the presence of mind before they cut the life support to harvest his sperm from, you know, they get the testicles removed. I mean, this is, you know, usually the guy went with the sperm, but now there is seriously a disconnect. We have the technology, but we don't have exactly the ethics and the morality, and you know, there are a lot of ethical issues here to go along with the technology, which outstrips our ability to be able to deal with it in some cases. And now she wants to memorialize the husband by having a child. I can understand the impulse. I think it's not fair to the kid, though, because she's effectively depriving him of half his parenting going into this thing. And she's a bit selfish, although it's coming from grief and love and all of that. But there certainly is an element here of, I want to keep my husband alive, and a non-acceptance of the reality, which is he is no longer with us. Plus, you wonder if the sperm of someone who is dead, has it been affected? Does it, you know, is it the same sperm as if he would be alive? Is there any compromise in the quality of it? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 79 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by your greater Denver area Toyota dealers. Brooks Brown, a former Columbine student and friend of Columbine shooter Dylan Klebold, says it's disturbing to see the video that was just released by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. The video is part of a larger release of documents related to the shooting investigation and shows Klebold and Eric Harris, the other Columbine shooter, taking shooting practice in the weeks before the school massacre. Funerals were held in Lamar for the two children allegedly drowned by their mother, Rebecca Amaya. She is charged with two counts of murder and yesterday was taken to the state hospital in Pueblo after she collapsed in her cell. Lakewood police continue looking for Stuart Gaskin, a suspect in the weekend shooting death of Richard Farley. Farley was found dead in a stairway outside an apartment at 6th and Vance. Gaskin is described as 5 feet 10 inches, weighing 175 pounds, has a shaved head and thin black mustache. Also said to have a panther tattoo on his right bicep, and he's missing some of his upper teeth. Call police if you have any information. D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad has told a judge in Virginia Beach that he now realizes it was not in his best interest to continue representing himself. That means the three attorneys dismissed by Muhammad earlier this week are back on the case. An October 16th memo from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to senior staff officials paints a dismal picture of how long U.S. troops will have to stay in Iraq and Afghanistan. Meanwhile, the commander of ground forces in Iraq says the average number of attacks against U.S. forces there has risen to between 20 and 25 per day since early October. What's described as a dysfunctional and sloppy U.N. security system is shouldering part of the blame for the high death toll in the August bombing of the U.N.'s headquarters in Baghdad. An independent panel appointed to investigate the incident claims a better security management system could have saved more lives. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche lost 4-1 to the Boston Bruins last night. The Avs take on the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. Denver Nuggets have another preseason game tonight in Houston. So far in the preseason, the Nuggets are 4-2. Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Miami. The New York Yankees have a 2-1 lead over the Florida Marlins. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. No purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through $10.31. See participating dealers for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:40.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 12:41. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by FedEx, clearing an injury accident, Federal at Evans. We also have a little bit of construction for you, XL related. It's going to be on northbound Spear between 8th and 10th. Watch for that. You'll also see a little bit of construction on the west side of town, westbound I-70 at West Colfax. With express ground and freight services, FedEx offers delivery options for all your shipping needs. You can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Record highs again today. We did break the record yesterday, and we should this afternoon with sunshine and a high of 84. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 50. Another hot day Thursday, mostly sunny, 83. But finally, much cooler by Friday, mix of clouds and sun. Little breezy with a high of 59. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 79 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
There are a few reasons to wish summer were still here. One, because it's summer, and two, because winter just beats up your home. The snow comes, then the freeze, then ice expands in the cracks in the walls. This is Craig Dobbs, and welcome to the freeze-thaw cycle. That's just a normal part of winter in Colorado. But damage from the cycle is normal, too, which is why you want to call Ironclad Painting. Using Benjamin Moore Premium Paints, they can stop the damage before it starts. They do large and small home remodeling and handyman jobs, too. For paint, as I say, they use premium paint from Benjamin Moore. And for peace of mind, they guarantee everything for 5 whole years, some materials for life. But can you trust them? Well, Ironclad is a family-owned business and has been for more than 20 years. They'll always be there for you. So give them a call at 303-347-8099. Please tell them Greg Dobbs sent you. 347-8099. Ironclad Painting, home of Benjamin Moore Premium Paints and the Ironclad Guarantee.
KNRC Market Watch.
Steep losses persist on Wall Street this hour on the heaviest day of the earnings reporting season. Most reports good, but stocks are falling anyway. Right now, the Dow is down 165 points. The S&P 500 is down 17. The NASDAQ is falling 42. American Airlines has buzzed the street with a surprise, a profit. AMR reporting $1 million in positive earnings thanks to deep cost cutting. But while announcing its first profit since 2000, AMR also said business travel remains soft. Stock is soft also. Right now, AMR is down more than a dollar. The parent of United Airlines says it's doing something about the business travel problem. offering anyone who buys a first or business class ticket from Colorado to anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean will get a companion ticket free. UAL shares down 2 cents. Earnings are fresh and crisp for Tupperware, the company posting break-even results for the third quarter, better than analyst expectations. Right now, Tupperware stock is up almost a dollar. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Closes your phone, 303-382-1150. KNIC.
1244 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're considering a number of things at the moment. Tyrone's situation is one of them. I'm thinking maybe Tyrone's fiance would be better off with David Guest, but Tyrone, don't kill me over that, okay? But here you've got a woman who is fairly young, and she's only been married about a year or so, and her husband tragically is left brain dead after a motorcycle crash, and she wanted to harvest his sperm before they pulled the life support, but according to the Rocky, her request ran into obstacles from Colorado Cryogenics Labs, which generally will not store sperm without written consent from the donor. Well, he's brain dead, so of course he's unable to provide it, because it is an essentially voluntary procedure that does not carry a life or death risk, and the donor designation on Josh Garvin's, the husband's driver's license, wasn't good enough. No one has ever asked to do it while the husband's on the deathbed. So she found, the wife, the widow now, found a Southern California outfit, a sperm bank in Los Angeles that will store the sperm without a written consent. A Swedish urologist who did not want to be named volunteered to remove the testicles after the other organs were harvested. And I imagine harvested, you know, whatever they are able to take to save other lives and so on. And she said that they wanted a boy. The widow now says that they wanted a boy so that the husband could teach the boy how to bike, and which is what killed the husband, of course. But what about the ethics of it? Is it fair to have a child when you know there's not going to be a father? Is that a bit selfish of the mother in her grief, though she wants to keep her husband alive in one form or another? And given that emotional baggage, is it fair to the child? Because the child will always be seen as the surrogate husband? I don't know, just a thought. 303-382-1150. Steve on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid, I think after today's show, you're going to have to check yourself in for help because we're agreeing again today.
Oh, so no, I can't believe it.
Wrong.
Oh, no. One of us is over the bend, Steve.
Well, I think you're taking a conservative position here. So you're absolutely right. It is unethical for her to do this. It's not fair to a child to bring a child, to knowingly put a child into a one-parent situation. It's not fair.
I mean, it's one thing if it happens later in the game.
I agree.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share with you the most hideous story of all. And this was a couple. This is an absolutely true story. And I don't know exactly what the latest outcome is, but this was a couple who tried for many, many years to get pregnant. And she came into an inheritance of around $250,000 and wound up using every single penny of it for one form of fertilization treatment or another, and nothing ever took. So they wound up hiring a surrogate to carry they got somebody else's sperm. They got somebody else's egg, and then they hired a surrogate to carry this child to term. And just before the child was about to be born, the husband wants a divorce. And the wife says, but you got to pay child support for this kid. And he said, hey, you know what? This isn't my kid. It's not my sperm. It is not my child. So the child is like born in, it's like a person without a country. A child is born to nobody who you know what I'm saying? I don't even have the words for it.
Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't know what wound up happening there, but it went to court, and whether he was ordered to pay or not, I don't recall. But he said, hey, it's not my kid, not my sperm, not my child.
On the two other issues, I think when you were talking about gay adoption, I'll tell you, my issue has been and always will be, clearly a mom and a dad is what we're looking for here. And I don't see how a gay adoption is any different than a single parent family. I mean, having two dads, I don't think makes up for having a mom and a dad.
Let me tell you what my thinking is on gay adoption and single parent adoption. You have the choice. Now that the child is born, it's here. And it either languishes in an orphanage where it has no parents at all and is in an institutional setting, or it can be with one person who will love it and cherish it, which is preferable to no people who will love it and cherish it.
In that case, I agree.
All right. And I also feel that an adopted child in a two parent situation, even if it's same sex parenting, I've no problems with that. I think if you get twice as much love, you're better off than from one person. If you can get twice as much, that's better for you.
I still think you're missing half of the equation, though. But on to Tyrone's predicament.
Yeah.
I think what he needs to look at here is, first of all, you know what? Forget about why the mother-in-law doesn't like him. You know what? There are white couples that the parents or in-laws don't like the husband or the wife, and they're both white. I mean, their in-laws sometimes just don't like people. Why it is, I don't think, is any more relevant than another reason.
Well, one reason they don't like it, they don't like that person stealing their loved one away, and they never think anyone could possibly be good enough.
Right. The other issue that he needs to look at is, obviously, when you're talking about the Confederate flag, amongst African Americans, there's a perception of racism there. Well, what he needs to look at is, obviously, this girl isn't a racist. I mean, if she was a racist, and that's what that flag meant to her, she probably wouldn't be dating Tyrone.
Well, that's a point.
I mean, I think you have to just look at the reality of it, which is, you know, that flag symbolizes something else to her. And if he looks at it as only a racism issue, I think he needs to sit back and look in the mirror and say, well, wait a minute. If that's what it symbolizes and she has enough, then why is she dating me? I mean, obviously, it's not a racism issue with her, and that's not what it connotates. Maybe he needs to address that or, you know, and say, hey, look, you know. It's not what I think it is.
You know what, Steve? That's really a good point. If she were racist, she would not be going out with Tyrone.
That's the only way I can see it.
That's a good point. So maybe she loves him, and maybe he ought to forget about the Confederate flag and just see it as a superficial something or other. If he really is nuts about her, then maybe he can learn to accept that. I don't know. Is that too much to ask him to accept, though, is the question?
Well, let me tell you something. As a man who's been married for almost 8 years, been with my wife for almost 12, that's going to be the least of the issues that you have to deal with when you're married. I mean, when you start getting money into the situation and then you have kids, that's when you actually have big problems that you sometimes have to deal with. Whether or not somebody has a Confederate flag tattooed on them is pretty minor in relation to some of the issues that you face when you're married. I mean, there are a lot of issues that are much bigger than that you have to work through. If you can't work through this issue, then I wouldn't get married, because, believe me, when you start dealing with money and kids, the issues become a lot bigger than tattoos.
I think you're probably right about that, Steve. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. We're considering a couple of issues here, and one of them is we have a, let me just add a corollary to this. We have here a widow. The husband was young and tragically injured in a motorcycle accident and brain dead. And before they pulled the life support, she had his organs harvested, and among them his sperm, and she wants to have a child as a way of memorializing, a living memorial to the husband in a way. I mean, I can understand the sentiment. I can understand the feeling. But it does strike me as selfish, and it strikes me as unfair to impose that on a child, to know going in with a child that the child will be effectively deprived of the father who will always be held up on this pedestal. This child will always know that it was the, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the kid before the kid is even born, because the kid is to be the living embodiment of the dad who's no longer here. But I saw a story in today's Rocky that sort of jolted me, and it's not unlike stories I know from friends. Here is a man who's 56 years old, and what he did, he's adopted son of a woman who was a big-time model. She was on the cover of Life magazine in 1945. He is 56, so she is considerably older. And her name is Blanche Hill, and he has been stealing from her. He pled guilty to stealing more than $2 million in cash and bank stocks from his 88-year-old adoptive mother. And the way he did it was to, she trusted him enough to make him her personal secretary and bookkeeper, and she was a fashion model, and she appeared on the cover of, you know, publications like Life magazine and so on. And she apparently opened the Vail's first ski apparel shop in the 60s, and she was married to a Vail pioneer, and she married a descendant of the founder of the Great Northern Railroad, and so on. So she's, you know, beautiful woman who had interesting husbands. But apparently the adoptive son pilfered stock certificates from her safe deposit box for a period of 3 years. He also forged signatures on stock worth $1.3 million. So he got her for about $2 million, and he fraudulently misappropriated about almost $1 million from her checking account during a two-year period. And this is the adoptive son. So, what do you say about that? It's a story. It's a novella. It's a sad story. People take you in and adopt you. Who knows what the emotional stuff was that went on in that household, but wow, what a payback. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Being independently owned means we're working for you instead of a corporation. That's a good thing. Local radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing I've ever seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, tonight. It was great.
It looked painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences will be roaring with laughter. Starting September 30th at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness, raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves, it's good, clean fun.
Entertaining, embarrassing, funny, silly. I laughed really hard. I would say come see.
Suppose you can imagine a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the Penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
There's something in the air, and Jack Bauer knows it. He can't see it. He can't hear it. But he can feel it.
The damage to this country would be catastrophic.
This fall, terror is contagious.
The virus is out!
The season premiere of 24, presented without commercial interruption by the next Ford F-150. This Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Net Results Junior Tennis is an after-school program that teaches kids tennis to help them improve academic performance and increase self-esteem. They are currently looking for volunteers, tutors, and tennis coaches for schools located in Montbello, Park Hill, and 39th and Steele. The after-school program is twice weekly on Mondays and Wednesdays. Coaches and literacy teachers will receive a small payment. If you are interested in helping Net Results, go to netresultsonline.net.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass. I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
12:57 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock. And joining us later in the broadcast, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Marinus. He has been Bill Clinton's biographer. He wrote a fascinating book called First in His Class, and he has a new book out. He'll be talking with us. It's about Vietnam, about October 1967, but I want to talk to him about politics as well. So that's coming up later in the broadcast. Tomorrow, Twyla Tharp, who is a well-known choreographer. She's written about creativity. We're also going to be talking next week to Ann Garrels from NPR, from Nigel Hamilton, who's written a controversial biography of Bill Clinton. Yet another biography of Bill Clinton, but he did a terrific biography of JFK that I really liked reading. It's gossipy and very interesting, but this one is very controversial, so we'll be talking to him. And we just got word that we're going to be joined by Deepak Chopra live in studio, so he will heal all of our problems. He will give Tyrone the best advice that he could possibly have, and he will make all of our dreams come true, but that isn't until the first week in November, so hang tight and keep listening. In the next hour, what I want to talk about, and if you're just tuning in, what we have been talking about is this is Tyrone's situation. He's African-American. His fiance is Caucasian, and she has a Confederate flag that she won't get removed because it sort of reminds her of her father. It was a thing about her father, and he's now dead. And so they have some problems going in. What do you think? Also, we have a recent widow, very young, who had the presence of mind while her husband was on life support. He was brain dead after a serious motorcycle crash. She had his sperm harvested. I don't know. They get a little, you know, you could put a little sun hat on and you get a little rake and a little hoe and never mind. Anyway, you whip it out, and she would like to have his child. And I'm thinking that even though we have the technology to separate the sperm from the man, you don't have to necessarily be alive to father a child anymore. Is this a good idea? Is it fair to the child? And that's what we've been considering. I think our technology sometimes outstrips our ability to deal with it. Don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here. And I want to consider in the next hour something very controversial. You have a school here that would throw out gay students if any applied, and they want vouchers, and they've been denied vouchers. And I want to know what you think about that. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNIC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 79 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by FedEx Ground. A newly released videotape shows the two students behind the worst school shooting in U.S. history firing a variety of weapons. The video, shot about 6 weeks before the Columbine High School massacre, shows Eric Harris and Dylan Klebel firing at bowling pins and trees in a forest partially covered in snow. Former Columbine student Brooks Brown says he's upset after seeing the video.
You know, my big question is, how the hell does anyone, such as Mark Manis, Dominic, the guys involved, how do they not know what these guns are going to be used for? Who goes target practicing with a Tech 9? Who goes target practicing with a high-point rifle? This is just ridiculous.
They're shown using a large array of weapons, including handguns, automatic rifles, and sawed-off shotguns. Harrison Klebold murdered 13 people and wounded 21 others in the April 1999 shooting in Littleton before they took their own lives. Lakewood police are asking for the public's help in locating a suspect in the weekend murder of Richard Farley. Police are looking for Stuart Gaskin, who is described as 5 feet 10 inches, weighing 175 pounds. He has a shaved head and thin black mustache. He's also said to have a panther tattoo on his right bicep, and he's missing some of his upper teeth. He's considered armed and dangerous. Farley was found dead in a stairway outside an apartment at 6th and Vance after neighbors reported an argument and gunshots at the apartment. Anyone with information is asked to call Lakewood Police. The citizens group Denver Cop Watch is planning to have a rally in March today to protest the shooting of 15-year-old Paul Childs, a developmentally disabled boy, by a police officer. The group says today is a national day to protest police brutality. They say the march and rally were planned before the ruling by the Denver District Attorney that no charges would be filed against the officer. The march and rally are to start at the corner of Colorado and Martin Luther King Boulevard at about 5:15 this afternoon. D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad is no longer acting as his own attorney. In the third day of testimony in his capital murder trial, the Gulf War veteran told a Virginia Beach judge that he realized it was not in his best interests to keep representing himself. In another somewhat surprising twist, Muhammad's alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, was led into the courtroom before the jury was present. One of the survivors of the sniper attack said the 18-year-old's height, face, and physical appearance matched those of the person who shot him last October. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has stirred up more questions about the administration's plans for both Iraq and Afghanistan. According to USA Today, Rumsfeld sent a memo to Pentagon brass on October 16th, noting that the U.S. will undoubtedly have to spend a long time in both places. The memo also said the U.S. had not yet made truly bold moves in the war on terror. Meanwhile, in Iraq, the commander of ground forces says the average number of attacks is on the rise. Since early October, an average of 20 to 25 attacks per day have been reported. The Pentagon is said to be considering an internal investigation into the comments of Army Lieutenant General William Boykin. The evangelical Christian has appeared at various events, including prayer breakfasts, dressed in his Army uniform, and making controversial comments about Islam. Republican Senator John Warner from Virginia has said the Pentagon should think about Boykin and his military position.
I think just temporarily, without any prejudice whatsoever, asking to take on another assignment until this matter is fully examined.
In Florida, Boykin said about the capture of an Islamic Somali warlord, quote, I knew my God was bigger than his. I knew that my God was a real God and his was an idol. He also said radical Islamists hate the U.S., quote, because we're a Christian nation and the enemy is a guy named Satan. Boykin coordinates the U.S. effort to find Osama bin Laden. More lives could have been saved inside the U.N.'s Baghdad headquarters on August 19th when a suicide bomber struck, had there been better security management systems. That's the conclusion reached by an independent panel appointed to look into the tragedy. The attack killed 22 people, including the UN's top envoy to Iraq. The panel blames the high death toll on the fact that security regulations and procedures weren't strictly enforced, as well as the UN's refusal of U.S. protection. In sports, the Boston Bruins topped the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 last night. The Avs will take on the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. The Avs lost to the Oilers this past weekend. Nuggets are in Houston for another preseason game tonight. Nuggets are now 4-2 in the preseason. And the World Series between the New York Yankees and Florida Marlins will continue tonight in Miami. The Yanks lead that series 2-1. Join the FedEx family at $11 an hour. Call 303-287-4279 or visit FedEx Ground just minutes from Commerce City off I-76 and 88th Avenue, 2 miles east of Mile High Flea Market. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Trying to deal with your many different insurance needs is like trying to navigate through an insurance jungle. There's auto and home insurance, plus health and life insurance. After trying to contact all these different insurance carriers, you feel like a caged animal. Well, now you can escape that jungle maze online. NQS will come to your rescue with the most competitive insurance quotes from some of the nation's leading insurance companies. This free service is yours in minutes online at NQS.com. Using their Colorado and nationwide resources, NQS.com will get your free quotes pronto. Just fill out a short, easy information form and that's it. Soon you'll have your free quotes from companies that'll compete with each other for your insurance business. You'll save time, trouble, and money. NQS. It's nice, quick, and simple. Log on now to NQS.com and get out of the insurance jungle. NQS.com, helping millions of folks since 1989.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by your greater Denver area Toyota dealers. Cleaning up a car fire, 56th and Vasquez. Apparently the car was totally engulfed in flames, so watch for emergency vehicles there. 27th and Federal, and you will see continued construction westbound I-70 at West Colfax. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. No purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through $10.31. See participating dealers for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We do have a couple of warm days ahead of us, but we also have some big changes on the way getting closer to the weekend. Today, record highs, mostly sunny up to 84. Tonight, mostly clear near 50, and Thursday, we'll find sunshine 83. But Friday's when that much cooler air moves in with a mix of clouds and sunshine, should be breezy with a high of 59. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 81 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by former Clinton biographer David Marinus. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Washington Post. He has a brand new book out. It has gotten great reviews. It's called They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. Tomorrow, Twyla Tharp, the well-known choreographer and former item with Bill Graham, the rock and roll promoter in San Francisco, the late Bill Graham, who was also, you could see him in various movies, I think like Bugsy. He was in that movie. He had a lot to do with the history of rock and roll in San Francisco. She's a choreographer, very well known, and she's written a book about creativity, so she'll be joining us tomorrow. Next week we have some fabulous guests, and in November, Deepak Chopra. So all that coming up on Enid Live, noon to 3. On AM 1150 KNRC. Here's what we've been considering, and here's what where we're moving to. We are considering a couple of things. We've been considering the woman whose husband has been on life support, and She had the presence of mind to harvest the sperm because she wants to perpetuate him. And so Greg has emailed, what if she remarries and her new husband is infertile? What if they use the harvested sperm to create a family after she remarries and keep it on ice until then? And so, in other words, if there's a husband in the picture, maybe, you know, then it's not as unfair to the child. Well, that's a thought. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's a thought. Also, Tyrone called us. And Tyrone is African-American. His fiance is Caucasian. She has a Confederate flag tattooed on her arm, and she won't remove it because it's sort of a symbol from her father, who's now deceased, and it honors his memory and her view. And Steve called in to say that she must love him, or if she were a racist, she wouldn't be going out with someone who's African-American. And Eric emails me and says, boy, Enid, am I white, whatever that means. It's called a Love Jones. Well, okay, I know that. I know about Love Joneses myself, but still in all, I don't know. Let's go to the phones. And Jerome Davis calling us from Colorado Springs. Hi, Jerome. Welcome.
Howdy, ain't it?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good.
I just wanted to weigh in on Tyrone's predicament. It's my understanding his fiance has a Confederate flag tattooed
on her
body.
Yeah, but I don't know where it's tattooed. I should have asked him, but I don't know where.
Yeah, that could be a key piece of information.
That's right.
Did she get the tattoo prior to or after her father's death?
That's not clear. I'm thinking that it's during or after, but it sounded like prior to meeting Tyrone.
Okay. And, you know, she may not be aware of, you know, the symbolism, and I don't see how she could not be, but she may not be aware of the symbolism involved with regard to the Confederate flag, you know, amongst black people. And Steve, you know, one of your callers, he was almost slipping into that revisionism with regard to the Confederate flag. You know, people got to understand that the Confederate flag was the unifying symbol of a group of people who fought to perpetuate slavery. And you know, people need to realize that. And Tyrone, the upshot of my call is he should seriously think about what he's about to do. And, you know, a person can be a racist and not know it. You know, the fact that she's dating a black man, I don't see where that is a confirmation or denial of one's racism.
You think, Jerome? I mean, if you don't like blacks, you wouldn't be dating one, would you? And considering
many slave owners had sex with black people, that doesn't mean that they like them.
Would you marry somebody that you didn't like?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, this is his fiance, he said. He described her as his fiance, so she's apparently agreed to marry him.
Well,
and they're not kids. She's 29, he's 32.
But you just alluded to a case regarding Miss Liza Minnelli. That would be an instance of somebody marrying somebody who they didn't like.
Well, that's true. Well, one presumes
people
that they didn't
like each other get married all the time.
I guess the divorce rate would reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
One presumes that they might have liked each other enough to get married, at least in the beginning, but that there wasn't enough like there to keep it going for more in the case of Liza Minnelli for more than a year or two.
Now, I don't know. From what I've heard of the gentleman, they probably wasn't enough like in the beginning. So, you know, I think we're assuming a lot to think that marriage was based on any, you know, mutual harmony.
Uh-huh. You're probably right about that. It was like more like a business deal.
Exactly. But Tyrone needs to reconsider.
All right. I hope Tyrone is listening. You heard it from Jerome Davis. Thanks, Jerome, for weighing in. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. We turn our attentions from one form of love to another, and that is, here is a Baptist Academy here in Denver, and it's going to appeal a decision by the Denver Public Schools to reject its voucher program application because the school would expel homosexuals if any were to go to that school, which in the school's history apparently none have, or at least none have openly done so. The principal of the Silver State Baptist School in Lakewood said that he believes last week's rejection by DPS is unfair and contradicts the purpose of the state's voucher plan. I believe it goes against the spirit of what the Colorado Opportunity Contract Pilot Program is attempting to offer the family, says the principal, whose name is Rodolfo Gomez. He says, I think they're offering families the opportunity to find a school that is in agreement with their beliefs. DPS board members rejected the Baptist school's application, citing a school discipline policy that states that, quote, premarital sex, homosexuality, and sexual perversion, whatever that may consist of, are reasons for automatic dismissal from our school. So if you are a gay kid you could get thrown out of this Baptist school. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly why you do not want to mix church and state together. Because it is against the law to discriminate on the basis of your sexuality. At least it's against the federal laws to do that. And here you are about your program, which to me is only another way of running, another way to run away from the problem of declining schools or the problems in education or a faltering educational curriculum or one that simply doesn't work. Whatever the problems are, handing out vouchers doesn't fix anything. It just moves your kid from point A to point B. But if your kid is gay and applies to this Baptist school, which would be getting public monies, your child would be thrown out. Premarital sex, homosexuality, sexual perversion are reasons for automatic dismissal from our school. I don't think they should get a penny of public funding. They should not get 1 cent of voucher money. 303-382-1150. What is your view of this? Here is the principal speaking. He said, because we don't have a history, I would like, because there have been no homosexual kids that have ever gone to this school, apparently. He said the school has not had an openly homosexual student in its 39-year history. It has 202 students in grades K through 12. We have never had to deal with the issue of someone being dismissed for being involved in homosexuality. We don't just dismiss students because they do one thing wrong. There's a process we follow. And then as soon as we follow the process, then we throw them out. Because we don't have a history, the principal says, I would say that we would treat it like other students caught with a smoking problem. He said, we work with them through the process, and once we see that they don't have any desire to correct the problem or they don't want to deal with it appropriately, then we make the determinations about expulsion. Well, if you're a gay kid, and remember, here's what the research tells us. The research tells us that it's hardwired into your genetics. It's not typically, it's not in the main a lifestyle choice. This is research that came to us in the past week from UCLA School of Medicine, University of California at Los Angeles School of Medicine. And what scientists there determined is homosexuality is wired into your genetic makeup. So if it's genetically, if you're genetically coded for it, then why should you be, it'd be like if they threw you out because your eyes were brown, not blue. 303-382-1150. So here is a Baptist school in Denver, and it's mad because it's not going to get voucher money because it will discriminate against gays. Where are you on this issue? What does this say about mixing up church and state? Is this, this is exactly why you do not want to mix church and state. If you, you know, you have an administration that is indulging in faith-based intelligence from the looks of it. But putting church and state together this way, voucher monies for Christian schools that are teaching creationism, some of them, Christian schools that are will throw you out if you are gay because it's against the rules and because they're they interpret the Bible very in a fundamentalist fashion. I think we don't want to, you know, they're free to do whatever they want, teach whatever they want, and no, not a cent of public money should go there. They have the freedom of religion. They have the freedom to teach whatever they want to teach. The dinosaurs couldn't have existed because the earth isn't that old, or the dinosaurs can't be that old, because if they're into creationism, that's what they're going to be teaching, or a fundamentalist interpretation of the Bible. Fine. But not a cent of public money to finance it. Not one red penny. Not one red penny to finance schools that will throw you out if you're gay. Not a penny. 303-382-1150. Emily calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on Enid Live, AM 1150, KNRC. Hi, Emily.
Hi. I just had a comment about you stating that homosexuality was hardwired. I just really don't see what that has to do with anything, and I'm not calling to say that I'm for or against it or anything like that, but, and I'm not comparing homosexuality to alcoholism, but, you know, there's research out stating that alcoholism is to a certain extent, you know, hardwired, just as homosexuality is, but people don't use that as a reason to justify alcoholism, so why use it as a reason to justify homosexuality?
If what your sexuality is determined by your genetic code, there's not much you can do about it. You are what you are. You're heterosexual or you're not hetero. And sure, if it's determined by your genetics, you don't have much of a choice about it. And to throw you out of a school because it's something that you can't help is, first of all, unfair. But secondly, we have laws preventing discrimination. And so to give public monies to schools that are going to discriminate against gay kids, I think, first of all, I don't think they should have one single cent of public money, not a penny.
I would agree with you on that point that they should not discriminate, but at the same time, just don't see how, whether or not homosexuality is hardwired or not. I don't think that that is a good enough, that shouldn't be the reasoning behind it. There are much better reasons, like you just stated, you know, discrimination and stuff.
Well, all right, we agree on the discrimination part of it, but Emily, if you can't control the color of your eyes, what color are your eyes, by the way?
I have brown.
All right, what if they threw you out of this school because you have brown eyes? There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I'm an alcoholic, and
we're not talking about alcoholism. There's a lot of controversy about alcoholism. You might have a gene that predisposes you or something, which I think you have a lot of control over your own addictions and whether you're going to do something or not do something. So I don't think you can put alcoholism in the same category. They're very different. That's not an analogous argument. But if you are hardwired to be one sexuality or another, to be heterosexual or homosexual, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. It's not a lifestyle choice. Do you see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I just don't agree because.
Well, you're free to disagree if you like, but certainly, would you want to see this school, this Baptist school, get one red cent for discriminating against gay kids? One red cent of public monies?
You know what? I really don't. I don't think so, but I just.
All right, well then on that point you and I agree, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Barbara on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Are you there?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Great, hi. I would just like to say that my children go to a small Christian private school.
Yeah.
And I homeschool one of my children. And I believe very strongly that our school should not get any state money. Because we do teach fundamental Christianity, and I believe in total separation of church and state.
Okay, then you and I agree on that point, even though we might not agree on the content of what your school is teaching your kids. They're free to teach them whatever you feel is best. But I'm with you on that, Barbara, because...
Exactly. I believe that we have a choice, and that at the same time that we make that choice, I pay... You know, taxes for school funds, but then again, you know, I don't have any access to that because I choose to put my child in a, you know, private school.
The school that your kids go to, would they toss out a kid who is gay?
No.
They would not?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Not on the basis of being gay. I don't believe so.
Okay. And
that if any child did inappropriate behavior at school... then that would be a different story, but not based on being gay.
And what about, what does your school teach in the way of how, when the earth was created? Is it literal, strict literal interpretation of the Bible?
Yeah. It's exactly. They teach the Bible and stick to the Bible with creation. However, they do talk about theories, you know, going back from the dinosaurs and what happened to the earth, you know, since then, and based on scientific evidence, that kind of deal.
Are you okay with that? That the earth started when did the earth start according to the Bible? When was the earth created?
When
in six
God
days?
Made the earth.
Huh?
When God made the earth.
So when was that? When does the Bible tell us that happened? Scientists everywhere want to know what date that was.
I'm sorry?
Scientists everywhere want to know what date that was, huh?
That's exactly right. That's what I want to know everywhere, and you're exactly right.
All right, Barbara.
I know it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, and I understand where you're coming from. That's why I'm also saying that our school does introduce the theories of other thoughts. And does, our school does allow for other people to have their own opinion that does teach religion according to the Bible.
Well, Barbara... I'm delighted that you called in. Thank you for doing it, and I hope you'll call us again.
Sure.
Thanks very much. 303-382-1150. You can weigh in on this, and here's the question. This is a Baptist school. It's located in Lakewood. It's not going to get voucher money because it's a very fundamentalist school. They teach, sounds like it's a very literal interpretation of the Bible that they're teaching, and they'll throw you out of the school. They won't let you stay if grounds for automatic dismissal are premarital sex, homosexuality, and... sexual perversion, but I don't even know what qualifies anymore. If anything does actually qualify as sexual perversion, well, maybe one or two things that I can think of. But beyond that, the rules have changed. Remember, you know, usury used to be anything more than, in some state laws, I think 18%, 14%, 18% was considered usury. In other words, too high an interest on a loan. What is usury now? Do you even hear the word? Because the interest rates are so ridiculous in a lot of cases, especially in high credit card debt. So sexual perversion, I don't know that there's anything much that fills into that category anymore. 303-382-1150. But homosexuality, to throw you out if you're homosexual and get public monies for discrimination, anti-gay discrimination? Oh, no, I don't think so. Not a penny of mine. I'm Enid Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150, KNRC.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
Delcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch Program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at velcaro.com.
Let's play a game. Tonight, as you lie in bed listening to KNRCRadio.com, which streams our station 24 hours a day to homes worldwide, lay in the middle of the bed. Doesn't that feel good? You can stretch your arms and legs in all directions and achieve perfect balance. Now you've got both sides of talk radio coming at you through your ears and both sides of the bed holding you in exquisite limbo. Welcome to our world. Hear both sides talk on KNRCRadio.com.
Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're considering right now the Lakewood Baptist School. It's not going to get vouchers. And why it's not going to get vouchers is that it will throw you out if you're a gay student. That's part of its policy. And I don't think that one single penny of public funds ought to go to a school that discriminates against gays or anybody else. And I'll tell you something else. You know, if maybe it's possible that this school teaches creation, I don't really know for sure. I don't want one single penny of tax money going for that either. Really, this is why you do not want to mix church and state. Church, let churches do what they want to do, what teach what they want to do. They're free to do it. We have freedom of religion in this country. It's what's made this country so brilliant. But don't, not a penny of public monies. It's bad enough that they all get exemptions. They don't have to pay taxes. 303-382-1150. Dave, calling from Parker. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good morning, Enid.
Hi, Dave.
I just wanted to get your viewpoint. I guess there's a school in New York City that's either formed or being formed that's for gay kids because they get picked on too much. So they're.
I don't like that idea, to tell you the truth. I don't like it.
Because I believe that's publicly funded.
Might be.
I don't know the facts, but I understand it is, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts on that.
I don't like the idea of it. I think that part of your education as a human being is to duke it out however life throws you curveballs. You've got to do it. Isolating these kids, I can understand the thinking behind it, but I'm not in favor of it.
Oh, then you threw me a curveball. I thought you'd be in favor of that.
Nope. Thanks for the
call. I won't waste your time.
All right. Thanks for the call, Dave. 303-382-1150. Ron, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm loving your guests lately.
Thank you.
Don't have to call. Just have to enjoy listening to you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, on this thing about usury, I remember reading, some histories of the Middle Ages and when I was in economics. You know what they used to do with usurers, both the church and the state in medieval Europe?
What?
They used to burn them at the stake.
Is that spelled S-T-E-A-K?
Yeah.
All right.
You can put your stake
well,
on
now
the
they
fire,
don't,
too.
Now they don't burn them at the stake. Now your credit card companies are charging you incredible, astronomical rates of interest to a lot of people.
But there was one exception. If you were a good Christian and were doing usury, that was heresy. They'd burn you at the stake. But if you were Jewish and did this, then there was exceptions made. How do you think the House of Rothschild and all these other lending houses made their got big during the 1600s and 1700s?
Well, I don't know, but what are you suggesting? Are you saying something anti-Semitic here?
No. I'm saying that throughout history, the Christian medieval Europe considered money evil, and they always had. And it was all right for their Jewish brethren to handle it. Hey, you've read Ivanhoe, haven't you?
I have not.
Read Ivanhoe by Sir Walter Scott. He's the one who saved King Richard.
Okay. I'll read Ivanhoe, but, Jews were not allowed to own land.
That
was the other problem.
But they had
to do other things to make a living. So they
But you were talking about the financing of schools and stuff. You think it should be all the way through, but both as a black and white thing? Because as I came out as a veteran, and I went to school on the GI Bill, in the Vietnam era. I went to Regis High School, and they took, Regis College. So you think that should be wrong? Getting veterans money to go to Regis?
No, maybe not. Let me think about that. I hadn't thought about that part of it. But I don't like the idea of financing these fundamentalist schools that are going to discriminate against gay kids
and teach
creationism. I don't like that idea at all.
Well, a lot of parochial schools or religious schools on the elementary level get federal aid for their milk programs and their food programs for their cafeterias.
Okay.
So that's aid.
But what are you saying about this particular Baptist school?
If they discriminate, I agree with you. Don't. But the thing is, you're opening a Pandora's box because everybody wants to get on this vouchers program, and I'm being Catholic. There's a lot of people saying
this is why you don't want to start. You don't want to open up the door. Period.
I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is, if there's a voucher program and all of a sudden somebody wants to get into a religious school with this voucher, and you're accepting vouchers from everybody else, but you don't like their cut of their cloth, you're saying no, and all of a sudden you're opening yourself to all sorts of stuff.
I thank you for the call, Ron. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Rob. Hi, Rob. You're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi.
Why would you want to take money away from me if my school is teaching my kid contrary to my belief? And if I want to take the money I pay to send her to school and put it someplace I would want that is more in agreement with my teaching,
You have the right to do it, and you pay for it out of your own pocket. I'm not subsidizing you.
What if
your
I can't afford it?
What if your school teaches Satanism? Why should I subsidize that? Teach your own kid at home. It isn't only the schools that know how to teach children. Children learn the most things in their lives from home.
Instead of teaching my kid at home, which is fine,
I don't even mean homeschooling. I mean you're going to augment whatever they're learning in school with whatever your particular sets of beliefs are. Or they can go to an after school situation.
What if what they're learning in school is contrary to what I believe?
Then send them to whatever school, or reteach them, or tell them that you disagree with what they're...
Just a minute, Rob.
You can tell them that what they're learning in school you disagree with, and you can augment their learning in school, or you can send them to an after-school program, or you can homeschool them, or you can send them to private school and you pay for it, just like every other private school parent does.
Or I could take the money that I would otherwise pay to a school that is teaching my kid contrary to my beliefs, and take that money and send her to the right school.
Let me ask you a question. Supposing I wanted you to finance my kid going to the Satan school where they teach Satanism, and there is a Church of Satan and it's headquartered in San Francisco. How would you feel about paying for that?
I wouldn't be paying for it. You would be
paying
for it.
Oh, no, you'd be paying for it. No, you'd be paying for it with public monies. How about if we took public monies and it was the school of the Allah School of Terrorism? How about that one?
If you want to send your school there with your...
Oh, no. I want you to pay for it, just like you want me to pay for your kid to learn creationism and the fact that dinosaurs never existed and to throw out gay kids. That's what you want me to pay for that?
I think you wouldn't be paying for it.
No, you want me to... You're calling me to get me to pay for your kid going to a school that teaches that kind of thing.
I'm asking simply for you to take the money that I pay to a school that's teaching my kid...
You take the money that I pay and you use that money for my kid to go to the school of Satan or the school of terrorism. That's what I'm asking you to do, and you wouldn't do it, not for one single second, would you? Eric in Castle Rock. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yeah, I just had a comment. I think you were asking for the timeline of the biblical timeline when creation started. It was supposed to be 4002 B.C.
4002 B.C. Who was there? How do we know what year that was?
That's just basically saying the Earth's been around for about 7,000 years.
Why did they get 7,000 years?
That's how they figured it out through the Bible and through the...
But geologically, it's been around for zillions of years.
I agree with you.
But where do they get 7,000? I mean, is there like a formula in the Bible that says,
they add this and double that? And the actual known civilizations from when the Bible was written, and they went backwards. And
but did they have out. A year? Was a year 365 days then?
That's according to them, yeah.
No, there's the Gregorian calendar, mm-hmm, exactly. There are other kinds of calendars, there's the Jewish calendar where the civilization is many years older than the Christian calendar, so, I mean, where
they come up with that? I'm not 100% sure. I was taking a class in philosophy, and that's the date that they...
All right, give me that date again.
It's 4002 B.C.
4002 B.C.
Yep.
And what is it, about 7,000 years ago?
Well, once you figure A.D., there's about 2,000...
I could never figure A.D. and B.C., I'm sorry. I never got it.
A.D. was is 30 years from the time that Christ was crucified, actually. Or actually 30 years from the time he was born.
He was born, right. Okay, right. Well, I never could get this.
Yeah, so you got to work backwards.
All right, so it's roughly 7,000 years old.
Roughly 7,000 years is what the... is what the creationism theory is.
Yeah, ready for cosmetic surgery. Okay, I thank you very much for that, Eric. Nope. I appreciate the information. 303-382-1150. What we're considering here is a Baptist school, very fundamentalist Baptist school. They'll throw you out if you're gay. They're upset, and they're going to fight it, that they are not getting voucher money, and the Denver Public Schools have said no because your policies are discriminatory, and they're going to try and fight it. I don't want one cent of my tax money going to support schools that engage in discrimination like this. And God knows what they're teaching. I mean, at Goldstein, you are listening to, let them do it. Let them teach whatever they want. But you pay for it yourself privately. That's the genius of the system. No mixing up of church and state, or as little as possible. 303-382-1150. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 81 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. The man accused of leaving a threatening message on the answering machine of Kobe Bryant's accuser is reportedly planning to plead guilty. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Denver says John Roach's lawyers filed some papers that say he will make the guilty plea in a November 24th hearing. He originally pleaded not guilty on September 2nd. At least one of the guns used in the 1990s 1999 Columbine High School massacre can be seen in a newly released video showing the two students responsible for the worst school shooting firing rounds into the forest. The video shows Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold targeting trees and bowling pins with a large array of weapons. An unconscious infant brought to Colorado Springs Hospital Sunday has died from his injuries. The 15-month-old boy was found in a tub where he was not breathing. He was taken to Memorial Hospital where he was pronounced dead Monday night. An autopsy was conducted yesterday. Police believe the boy's death was an accident. There have been at least two major developments in day three of the trial of accused D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad. Muhammad has asked the judge overseeing the trial to reinstate his defense team. And in another surprise twist, his alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, was identified by one of the survivors of last year's sniper shootings as looking very, very similar to the shooter. Tensions remain high in Florida after Governor Jeb Bush intervened in the case of Terri Schiavo to have the 39-year-old severely brain-damaged woman put back on life support. Her husband claims his wife would not want to be kept alive artificially. Michael Schiavo's attorney tells NBC's Today Show he's considering possible appeals. A memo sent to Pentagon Brass from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has triggered another round of questions about the administration's plans for Iraq and Afghanistan. Meanwhile, in Iraq, officials say U.S. forces are now facing between 20 and 25 attacks per day. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche will be back in action tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center against the Edmonton Oilers. The Boston Bruins beat the Avs 4-1 last night. The preseason continues for the Denver Nuggets tonight in Houston. The Nuggets have done well in the preseason so far, winning 4 and losing 2. The New York Yankees have a 2-1 lead over the Florida Marlins going into the fourth game of the World Series tonight in Miami. Try the freshly prepared Zesty Chicken Bowl at Taco Bell with grilled all-white meat chicken, so it tastes even better. Available at participating locations. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecaster up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
Hi, Jim Conder here for International Optique. Summer's over and it's time for a new wardrobe. Bev Rouleau hopes you're not in an eyewear violation zone. Look in the mirror. Do you like your eyewear? Do you look fabulous? If the answer is no, let the staff at International Optique style you. Bring a relative or a friend and see what's buzzing with the latest fashion eyewear in Denver. International Optique has exclusive lines that will make you look your best at the office, out for a night on the town, hip, cool, or totally unique. After all, that's International Optique's specialty, all to match your personality. International Optique at Tamarack Square and International Optique on South University in East Orchard are both full-service boutiques. Start with an eye exam and then on to the latest in lens technology and a frame that will have heads turning at your new look. Call 303-755-9880 and ask the staff to send you a $50 eyewear violation gift certificate toward the purchase of your new frame and lenses. International Optique, you wear their reputation on your face.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by OnStar. A pretty quiet drive right now. You will see construction westbound I-70 at West Colfax on C-470 between Ken Carroll and Wadsworth. And watch for a little bit of XL-related work on northbound Spear between 8th and 10th. If there's a breakdown holding up traffic on your route, find your way around the problem with OnStar Directions and Connections Plan. At the push of a button, an advisor can give you specific directions wherever you need to go. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We do have a couple of warm days ahead of us, but we also have some big changes on the way getting closer to the weekend. Today, record highs, mostly sunny up to 84. Tonight, mostly clear near 50, and Thursday, we'll find sunshine 83. But Friday's when that much cooler air moves in with a mix of clouds and sunshine, should be breezy with a high of 59. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 81 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more breasts to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
KNRC Market Watch.
Little relief for the markets inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrial Average is down 140 points. The S&P 500 losing 14 points. NASDAQ is off 36, a loss of nearly 2%. But there's a party going on at Tupperware after the company surprised investors with better-than-expected quarterly results. Tupperware had warned of a loss last month, but the company actually broke even, thanks mainly to bigger business in Europe. Tupperware stock, one of the day's few winners, now up a dollar. More people reached for a Bud last summer. Anheuser-Busch says worldwide beer sales were up 1.5% during the last quarter, helping the company achieve record sales and earnings. Anheuser says higher beer prices also helped. The stock is up over a quarter. Not much inspiration to refinance last week as mortgage rates popped back above 6%. Refinancing demand fell by nearly 6%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, now predicting mortgage lending will drop by more than half next year. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
144 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. God bless the listeners. What we're talking about is a Baptist school in Lakewood that is not going to get voucher money because one of their policies states that they will throw you out if you engage in premarital sex, homosexuality, and sexual perversion. And so, of course, I don't want any of my tax money going to a place that's going to discriminate against gays. But beyond that, I was asking the question, what constitutes sexual perversion anymore? I mean, the category is so expanded. So one of you called in to say, to offer up this gem, to use a feather is kinky. To use a whole chicken is perverted. 303-382-1150. Dwayne calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, hello. Dwayne.
This for me?
Hi, yeah, welcome.
Oh, yes. Miss Enid, I was just wondering, why, I mean, it seemed like that institution or the Baptist organization seemed like they are promoting good morals. Why would anybody want to go against anybody that's teaching decent morals when you got so many people that's teaching such pervertedness these days?
Is it immoral to be gay when it's part of your genetic code?
But see, the part is, I think people have been convinced by all of these so-called scientists and whatever else that's convincing everybody that it's part of your genetic code that you are a homosexual. I think that's a choice that you make through the pervertedness of your mind.
So you're disagreeing with the scientists who say that it's hardwired into your genetics. You, Dwayne, you believe it's a perversion.
I think so. That's the same.
You can believe, I don't agree with you, but you can believe whatever you want. I'm just not going to fund it. I'm not giving you a penny of tax dollars. I'm not going to let you discriminate. What if people said to be black is perverted? Then what? Is there anything you can do about your skin color?
No, ma'am, but that would be...
Well, maybe there's nothing you can do about your sexuality either.
But you say maybe there's not, but what if...
I don't know. That's what the scientists are telling us, and that's what our anecdotal... I'm sure there's some people who, you know, can make a lifestyle choice about it one way or the other, but I think in the main, this is what you really are. You're really mostly heterosexual, or you're really mostly homosexual.
Well, I mean, if you see two gay people walking around wherever, mall, wherever, right?
Okay.
And they are, like, being kind of intimate, doing their kissing and whatever they do. And you see it. Don't you get a kind of that's not right feeling deep inside your...
You're talking to somebody who lived in San Francisco for a zillion years. So, to me, it's nothing much. But, okay, supposing you're... Listen, sometimes I get offended when I see couples making out in public. Heterosexual couples making out in public. It's not my thing. I don't like to watch it.
Right.
But you could say this about heterosexuals as much as gay couples.
Well, the gay couple, I mean, yeah, that's an argument that you can go on with. But
supposing they're just walking side by side, just like two people would in a mall. What then? What are you? Are you then offended?
No. I mean, I see them doing more than that, and when you see them doing it, and you get that not right feeling. I mean, 20 years from now,
what about
the mall? You have 80% of the mall walking around as gays, doing whatever they want to do, the hugging and the kissing and everything, and that's gonna be a.
So we should fund. Bottom line, Wayne, we should fund discrimination, sexual discrimination. What's the difference between funding sexual discrimination and funding racial discrimination?
No,
what's the difference? You would have had religious schools, private religious schools in the South 30, 40 years ago that would have kept people out because of their skin color. And they would have used some kind of biblical justification for it.
Yes, and that would have been wrong.
Okay.
But at the same time, is this right here. We all know, we all have a good understanding on what morals are, good morals, decent morals. You know, we all have an understanding of that. You know, it gets built into us. We know what feels right. What
we know,
right.
We know what we like. But let me tell you, there are very fine, solid citizens who are gay, who aren't making out at the mall, who have children, who are solid community members.
You know what? I really.
So I'm afraid you're drawing a stereotype. I'm afraid you're copping to a stereotype.
A stereotype?
Uh-huh.
Maybe I am. Because I know the difference between good morals and bad morals. And I know that sitting up looking at two men acting like a man and a woman,
it may not be your thing, but to discriminate on the basis of someone's sexuality, I can't agree with. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I want to get on to this student who, remember, we've been talking about him. He's the one who alerted the Transportation Safety Administration on 5 or 6 occasions that you could smuggle box cutters in, and they completely ignored him. So he did it. And for 6 or 7 times, nobody noticed it. And finally, whether he let them know or whether they finally found it, I don't recall the details. But in any event, he's looking at 10 years in the slam for doing this. Nancy Pelosi, who's the House Minority Leader, and let me see, I think maybe somebody else from California. I'm thinking maybe Barbara Boxer. But Nancy Pelosi definitely has criticized federal authorities for prosecuting a 20-year-old college student who the FBI says acknowledged smuggling box cutters and other banned items onto commercial planes. He could spend up to 10 years in prison, and Nancy Pelosi says, I don't think he had criminal intent, which I agree with. I think that what he was trying to do was to show how exposed we are and what our vulnerability was, and he tried to tell the TSA, and he gave a trail to them. And John Mica, who was a Republican from Florida, chairman of the House Aviation Subcommittee, said prosecutors should concentrate on people who actually pose a threat. I think he should not be the fall guy. But he did violate the law, and there has to be consequences. And this is from a Republican. But he shouldn't be the fall guy. I don't think he should be the fall guy either. And in a related story, you've got a woman who's on a plane, and the plane is in the air. It's en route to wherever it's going. And she whips out a knife, a long knife, because she's going to have an apple, and she's cutting up her apple. And somehow, with that long knife, she made it onto the plane. How did that happen? 303-382-1150. What does that say about our vaunted security procedures? And let me ask you this question. Are they screening the cargo? Because for a long time, they never did. They never screened the cargo. Maybe they're starting to do that now. I don't know, but they didn't. Dave in Denver, hi, you're live with Enan. Hello?
Hi, sorry about that. Remember after 9/11 attacks, there was a big old hoopla that mostly the Democrats made about making the security force under government, remember that?
Federalizing the security force.
Yeah.
Because guys like Argenbright, who had all these contracts, there were a lot of felonies on staff there, and they had that information from the authorities.
Yeah, and then you know, the Democrats were saying that Bush was anti-American, and he was supporting terrorists and stuff like that, and he was just going to be, he was going to allow the terrorists to walk on if we didn't allow, make it go national. So what happened now that it's national and all these issues are still rising? I thought the Democrats said that if we did this, it would help the issue.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that a lot of what they do, pulling you out of line, scrutinizing your shoes, I just think a lot of it is BS. I just think that I I don't. My gut feeling is that lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place, and I don't mind a federalized force, TSA. I know a lot of people were fired out of DIA, and now they're going to reinstitute some of them. So whether they have enough people or whether there's human error, I mean, if you think about the job, you're sitting there and you're looking at these shapes x-rayed in your big purse or your big carry-on or something, I think they could miss a lot of stuff. I think it's the illusion of security, frankly. 303-382-1150. Mark, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello. I was just commenting on the fact that this, I can kind of see the side of this young gentleman who's trying to prove a point to security that maybe, you know, you can get a box cutter on. But what if it was somebody that, let's say, you know, might use that excuse in the future. If this kid gets off, basically if he does get off, someone else could use that as an excuse, and if they didn't go through with their intent to maybe do harm.
Well, I think there are enough mitigating circumstances. You got to prove criminal intent. If someone's really intent on harming us, I think you know that in advance. This is just a 20-year-old kid, a ham radio operator, kind of a nerdy, bright kid who found all kinds of lapses in the system, and he's trying to point them out to the TSA, and they don't have time for him. They're ignoring him completely. They don't want to hear about it. They're a bureaucracy. They're busy putting up people in fancy resorts at a fortune. That's what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, I totally understand all that.
But I see.
But I'm just saying there's that possibility that somebody might, you know.
Well, what you're saying is you don't want to set what could be a dangerous precedent. That's what you're saying.
Right. I think he should be made an example of, because, you know, hey, if you anyone to anybody bring in a box cutter on the plane, we catch you, you're going to get in trouble. Bottom line, we don't care what your intent is.
Well, but he was trying to point out, and even once he got the box cutters on, they sat there for 5 weeks. Nobody found him. I don't know if he drew a big red arrow and said, hey, you know what, there are box cutters, follow the arrow. I don't know what happened there, Mark. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Finally, Denver has a talk station it can be proud of. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing I've ever seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, to die. It was great.
It looked painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences will be roaring with laughter, starting September 30th at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness, raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves it's good, clean fun.
Entertaining, embarrassing, funny, silly. I laughed really hard. I would say come see it.
Also, you can imagine a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the Penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
We've duct taped Bill Betz's mouth to get his reaction to the Xerox Color Copy Center without relying on words. Bill, how's 16 color copies a minute sound? How about color less than 9 cents a page? Or upgrading for network printing, scanning, and faxing, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee, all for a terrific lease that's $240 a month?
Wow! And it's from Xerox.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge. Where's your mustache?
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Mary's Hope, an organization dedicated to serving adult victims of childhood sexual abuse, is hosting Art for Hope, a fine arts fair, Saturday, October 25th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at St. John's Cathedral, located at 1350 Washington Street. Among the more than 15 artists will be Andy Marquez, a Colorado native photographer, signing his much-anticipated book, Last Signs of the Frontier, Colorado Roadside Nostalgia. For information on Art for Hope, call 303-377-0293.
AM 1150 KNRC and Radio Disney present Boo Bash at Heritage Square on Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. Bring out your family in costume to trick or treat throughout the square. This free event includes live entertainment from Radio Disney's Commotion Band and lots of candy prizes and games. You'll have a hauntingly good time at the Boo Bash at Heritage Square, Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. For more information, go to knrcradio.com and click on events.
Hi, I'm Doug Hallett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
157 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I just want to let you know our sister station 1510 KCUV is going to be on Channel 9 News tonight at 6 p.m. on the 6 p.m. newscast. Paul Johnson is going to be reporting about the new format and the Americana trend, and so I think you'll have fun watching it. What goes on? We it's our old signal 1510 where KNRC began, and it's now an Americana station, alternative new format. KCUV. So watch Channel 9 News tonight at 6 o'clock and get the scoop. 303-382-1150. Couple of things. First of all, the woman that we talked about yesterday whose feeding tube was removed, it's been reinstated. The legislature got involved. Governor Jeb Bush ordered it, and her husband is vowing he's going to reverse the governor's order, so that fight's not over. President Bush is going to sign a partial birth abortion ban. Rumsfeld's War on Terror memo. Oh, wow. We're going to talk about that as we continue. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by David Marinus, Clinton's former biographer, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Pat Onassell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I was just calling about the guy that got the razor blades onto the planes and all that stuff. And I think...
Box cutters.
The box cutters, yeah, the razors. I think he should be protected around the whistleblower acts of some sort. I mean, he's blowing the whistle on the shoddy transportation... security, so, I'm not saying let him off scot-free, but at the same time, he's pointing out flaws that a bureaucracy obviously has, and a single kid is doing it. So.
That's right. He's a 20-year-old who's on a mission, and I would say put this kid to work. All right, slap his wrist somehow. He wasn't supposed to do it. He took matters into his own hand, but he's a good kid, and he's a smart kid, and make him a security hound and let him find other lapses in the system.
And if one guy can do it, and however many thousands of people are working for that company, or the bureau can't, then they're obviously doing something wrong, and he's doing something right. He's a whistleblower to me, not a criminal.
I'm with you, Pat, on that. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. One more hour of Enid coming right up. I'll have some information about Rush. He's in this hippie institution, apparently, where they do yoga and meditation. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Wait till you hear the news. In the next hour, coming up, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Marinus, who was the Bill Clinton's biographer. He wrote First in His Class. He has a brand-new book out all about Vietnam. It's called They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. We'll be talking politics. In the next hour, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 81 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Worry Free Vacations. The videotape released by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office showing Columbine killers Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold is disturbing to see, according to Brooks Brown, a former Columbine student and acquaintance of Klebold. Brown says the people who provided the weapons are also in the video.
Mark Maness and Philip Duran, the two young men who obtained the weapons, one of the weapons for Eric and Dylan, actually claimed they had no knowledge, that they had no clue this is what they were going to do. To be clear, they only did obtain one of the weapons. They obtained the Tech 9.
The video shows Klebold and Harris using a large array of weapons, including handguns, automatic rifles, and sawed-off shotguns. The Powerball jackpot has risen to $162 million, and that, says Todd Greco of the Colorado Lottery, means all sorts of new players getting into the act. If you're thinking about being one of them, Greco urges you to gamble responsibly.
What we've noticed is players who usually don't play, they wait till the jackpot gets to a certain amount, and then they'll buy one or two tickets, and that's what we recommend for everybody. We don't want everybody going out there and spending their weekly earnings or their grocery money on Powerball tickets.
Greco says most people in Colorado exercise restraint when purchasing Powerball tickets, which is a good thing. The odds of winning, he says, are 1 in 121 million. The far too short lives of Grace Headley and Gabriel Amaya were remembered by family and friends at a funeral in Lamar yesterday. The two children were laid to rest following their drownings in a bathtub. Their mother, Rebecca Amaya, is charged with two counts of murder in the deaths of the children. 4-year-old Grace was remembered as a girl who loved everyone and liked dressing up like a princess. And 5-month-old Gabriel was referred to by his father as an awesome miracle. Prowers County Sheriff's officials say Rebecca Amaya collapsed in her cell yesterday and was taken to the state hospital in Pueblo. Accused D.C. area sniper suspect John Muhammad has decided against continuing as his own attorney. Muhammad asked the judge today to reinstate his defense team, saying it was not in his best interest to continue representing himself. Also, in day three of the trial, Muhammad's alleged accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, was identified in court by a survivor of last year's sniper attacks as looking very, very similar to the person who shot him. The 18-year-old was led into the courtroom by law officials before the jury was presented and taken back out once the identification was made. Terry Schiavo, the severely brain-damaged Florida woman, is back on life support today. Florida Governor Jeb Bush intervened in the case, signing an emergency bill to restore feeding tubes to the 39-year-old woman. She was left in a vegetative state after a heart attack 13 years ago. The woman's sister, Suzanne Carr, told ABC's Good Morning America that the family is braced for more legal challenges.
We think she would never want to die a starvation death. And so we believe we're doing the right thing for Terry. And unfortunately, we do believe we'll probably wind up back in court.
Last week, a judge ordered Chivo's feeding and hydration tubes removed at the request of her husband, Michael. He claims his wife never wanted to live in such a way. George Filos, Michael Chivo's attorney, is weighing possible appeals. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was apparently questioning, as recently as October 16th, whether the U.S. would be able to leave Iraq and Afghanistan anytime soon. USA Today reports Rumsfeld floated a memo to Pentagon brass saying troops would likely have to remain in both places for an unspecified but undeniably long period of time. Meanwhile, U.S. forces are said to be facing more attacks in Iraq. The commander of ground forces in Iraq, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, says the average number of attacks since early October has increased to between 20 and 25 per day. He says the peak so far for the month has been 35 attacks in a single day. Authorities believe an out-of-control wildfire was likely triggered by live fire ordnance training in a remote section of the Oceanside Marine Base at Camp Pendleton, California. The blaze has already consumed more than 1,000 acres. There's concern that some Southern California residents may have to be evacuated from the area if the wind shifts to the east. In sports, the Boston Bruins skated over the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 last night. The Avs are back in action at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the Edmonton Oilers. The Denver Nuggets are 4-2 in the preseason. Tonight they get another chance to better that record as they play the Rockets in Houston. And the Florida Marlins will try to even things up in Game 4 of the World Series tonight. The New York Yankees lead that series 2-1. It'll be the end of an era tonight as Roger Clemens goes to the hill for the New York Yankees in what will likely be the final start of his Hall of Fame career. The 41-year-old Clemens, winner of 6 Cy Young Awards and more than 300 career victories, has said he will retire at the end of this season. Worry-free vacations, air and hotel packages to Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, and Las Vegas. Save up to 50% on packages. Call your travel pro or see worryfreevacations.com. Restrictions apply. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
In my line of business, close doesn't cut the mustard. I need to constantly find leads. Follow up again, do more follow up, and get the deal done. I never talk about the one that got away, because none of mine get away. I'm a natural born closer.
Why is Brenda successful? She's not going to tell. Her best-kept secret, the Denver Business Journal, is one of the most valuable prospecting sources in town. With in-depth print and online versions, networking events, the book of lists, exclusive 3 p.m. email updates, the technology directory, and more. She's got 1,000 leads to work on closing every week. Don't let yours get away. Subscribe to the Denver Business Journal for as little as $1.09 a week. Even if your company already gets the Denver Business Journal, you can get your own copy while the leads are hot. Get started with 4 weeks absolutely free. Call 303-837-3500. That's 303-837-3500.
You're picking up the phone, right? You don't want to let this deal get away.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of KeyBank. Southbound I-25 between University and Colorado. Watch for a bit of a problem there due to a stall in the right lane. Watch for that. Also westbound I-70 at West Colfax, continuing construction there. On northbound Spear between 8th Avenue and 10th Street, watch for some problems there as well. Time is money. If your checking account isn't earning interest, you're wasting time. Stop by any KeyBank today for their free checking account with interest. Account early closure fee applies. The solution is Key. Member FDIC. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Looks like we'll break the record again today. We broke it yesterday. We're going to find some sunshine this afternoon with a high of 84, the record being 81 set back in 1975. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 50. Sunshine on Thursday, 83. And a mix of clouds and sun Friday. Finally, some much cooler air. Breezy with a high of 59. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 81 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And joining us in this segment is Pulitzer Prize-winning author David Marinus. He's a Clinton biographer. I loved his book, First in His Class, his new book, They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. David Marinus is an editor at the Washington Post. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Enid. Great to be with you.
I'm delighted that you could be here. I loved your first book. I read it, and I thought it was just a fabulous biography of Bill Clinton. It told me more about him than I have read since, although there's a new one out by Nigel Hamilton, and we'll have him on next week, a controversial book. But tell me, the question I really have for you is why a book about Vietnam now, so long after the fact? There have been so many books written about it. What was it that you were intending to do here?
Well, you can ask that about anything. The Civil War has thousands of books, Abe Lincoln. So it's a question that I get often, and it's a valid question, but in essence, what I was thinking is there's wonderful literature on the war itself. There's some good literature on the anti-war movement. I hadn't seen any books that tried to put those two very different worlds together into one interwoven narrative, very different worlds that nonetheless were about the same thing, the war in Vietnam. I also felt that I'm of the post-war baby boom generation, which Vietnam shaped and will shape for the rest of our, as long as we're alive, and that many of us are now in our mid-50s to early 60s, whether they're Vietnam vets or students on a college campus, feeling their own mortality and ready to look back on that era in a more honest and realistic way. And so I found it to be actually a wonderful time to go back and interview people about it.
You're going to be here in Denver at the Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, Friday night.
That's right.
At 7:30, so people can meet you, and you'll be signing books. You got a wonderful blurb from Walter Isaacson, who has written a bestseller, Benjamin Franklin, and we have had Walter Isaacson on. And for those of you who missed that broadcast, Walter Isaacson is former head of CNN and also Time, the Time Empire. Or parts of the Time Empire, Time Magazine, etc. And he said wonderful things about the book. He said, this is the most powerful book about war and turmoil I have ever read. He talks about your unforgettable interviews, the archival research. What is the story that you're telling us?
It's the story of America and Vietnam at a crucial moment, a turning point in October of 1967. And I tell this story through 2 days. And in two specific battles, so to speak. One is a real battle in Vietnam involving a battalion of the 1st Infantry Division on what they then called a search-and-destroy mission, which went out into the jungle looking for the Viet Cong and essentially got destroyed itself, 60 men killed and 60 wounded out of 140-some men. Just a horrible battle. At the same time, at the University of Wisconsin, the anti-war movement was building, and there was a protest against Dow Chemical Company, the makers of napalm, which had become sort of the symbol of the war. And this protest turned into an obstructive sit-in, which then devolved into essentially a police riot with cops coming in and beating kids over the head with billy clubs. It was the first time that that had happened on a college campus, the first time tear gas was used on the Wisconsin campus, and sort of marked a change in the anti-war movement as well. And I used as a hinge between these two events the White House of Lyndon Johnson, who right then in October of 67 was privately thinking that he couldn't run again, was feeling enormous pressure because he felt he was losing both the war militarily and the war at home in terms of public perception.
I once talked to Lucy Baines Johnson in Austin, and she said that the walls in the White House were so thin that the last thing they heard at night and the first thing they heard in the morning was, hey, LBJ, how many what was the line? How many kids did you kill today? Right. And she said that was what they went to bed to at night and what they woke up to in the morning.
Well, that was just starting right then in October of 1967. The first massive protest against the war at the Pentagon was at that weekend, a few days after the seminal days of my book. It was the first march on the Pentagon. And there's even a scene in the book of President Johnson and Mrs. Johnson and Linda, not Lucy, but Linda, the other sister,
the older sister,
car, going to church that Sunday and then driving around so LBJ could look at all the hippies who were in town at the protest.
Probably with the idea of dating one or two of them. You did a lot of archival research. You did a lot of interviewing.
Yes.
What were the surprises for you in writing this book?
Well, there were many surprises. I don't know if it's a surprise or not, but the Wisconsin side of the book, I did a lot of deep research on, but I was more familiar with it. I was a freshman at Wisconsin that fall. So even though I'm not a character in the book until the epilogue, that aspect of life was more familiar to me. Dealing with the veterans who survived this battle was the most profound experience of my life. And what I came to understand is that no matter what your philosophy or ideology about war, whether you're a pacifist or a warmonger or most people in between, that all of that is fine, but it's the soldiers who feel war in a way that everybody else cannot.
I think one of the reasons there was so much protesting is not simply a function of the time and place, but also a function of there being a draft.
Oh, absolutely. I agree completely.
And there, we don't see that right now with the whole Iraq situation.
No.
Because there is no draft, and so the children of the rich and powerful are immediately exempt because we now have a professional military class.
Totally. I mean, they were mostly exempt even then because of student deferments. But
not all of them. But not all of them.
No, not all of them were. And furthermore, aside from just having the draft, it was the notion that any American male aged 18 to 26 in that era had to think about it, whether they would get drafted, what they would do if they got drafted. So it fueled the anti-war movement, but it also fueled this daily, intense, intellectual and deep discussion about the war and what you would do to deal with it.
Well, exactly, because first of all, there was the lottery. You didn't know you had to decide, are you going to go to graduate school if you wanted to stay in school if you were in undergraduate school,
yeah,
or would you go to Canada and be a conscientious objector?
I didn't mean to make it a sexist thing either. I mean, all the women of that same generation were dealing with it in their own ways in terms of their, you know, the people they cared about.
My guest is David Marinus. His new book is called They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. He's a winner of a Pulitzer Prize, and he will be at the Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30, Friday night, signing books and answering questions. I want to take you back to Bill Clinton.
Uh-huh.
And I want to take you back into what's going on right now, the whole Iraq thing. Since you've written about Vietnam, and the Q word was being used for a while, quagmire, in the post-war occupation that we seem not to have much of a strategy for, can you draw any parallels?
Yes, of course. I mean, I should start out by saying that the two wars are incredibly different militarily. And in a sense, as one of my friends says, one of the problems with the Vietnam War was that there was no Vietnam War from which to draw lessons. So the military definitely has changed. The enemy is different. But there are so many parallels. Once again, you have American soldiers in a place where they don't know really who's the friend and who's the enemy, where they don't know the language or the culture, where you have the premises of a war being questioned, whether it was the Gulf of Tonkin resolution based on an alleged questionable attack on an American warship, or whether it's the weapons of mass destruction.
Right, and the Niger, the forged documents,
right.
Enriched uranium from Niger.
So those are, in each case, those were the rationalizations for the war as opposed to the larger reason that the American government decided to go into the wars. But nonetheless, they've been challenged. You also have questions about people who oppose the American military policy, being called unpatriotic. That still persists, even though dissent is such an important part of the American democratic fabric. And you have, in October of 1967, Enid, right when my book takes place, President Johnson is afraid that he's losing the war of perception. So he sends out all of his cabinet secretaries and other aides, spreads them out around the country to try to say that they are winning and it's the press that's getting it wrong. And you have that parallel, of course, this month.
I know, it sounds like the Department of Redundancy Department.
Well,
But it's a different time now, and
yes.
We are less skeptical. Oh, a lot of people are watchers, not readers of the Washington Post so much as they are watchers of the Fox News Channel. So they think that that weapons of mass destruction actually were found. They're thinking that there was a connection with Al-Qaeda. They're thinking a lot of things that are not necessarily the case, and not questioning. So even though Bush is sending out his emissaries, and it looks like his approval ratings are dropping faster than Bob Dole without his Viagra, still in all.
I've never heard that line before.
Yeah, well. You could take that back to Washington. I'm wondering, I can only hope that the American public rises from its stupor and begins to pay attention here, but I'm not entirely sure that will happen.
Well, all I will say to that is that as an historian, I sometimes get depressed thinking that human beings tend to not learn from history but repeat the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, it gives you a lot of fodder as an historian of things to write about.
Sure,
human folly, not the least of
and
which.
I should say, Enid, also that I started this book before 9/11. You know, there are echoes of Vietnam and reverberations today that are louder. But I thought the lessons of Vietnam are permanent for at least for my generation as long as we're alive anyway. So when I started this book, it wasn't to draw the parallels with what's going on today.
Let me ask you a question that I've been wondering about. All these years now after Vietnam, was it worth it for us to go in? What did we actually achieve besides
well,
the loss
you know,
of massive
there's a,
life?
There's, a,
and
there's an argument that you hear, and I think it's an interesting intellectual argument. I disagree with it, that considers Vietnam a campaign in a larger war of the Cold War. And so, therefore, even though if they lost that campaign, America won the war. I can't accept that personally, and I think that it's hard to accept 57,000 dead American soldiers as meaning that the war was necessary.
It's an after the fact palliative. Did you keep out of the war?
I did not fight in the war. I was of that age. I was a freshman in 67. In 1971, I had a low draft number, and I was already married and had a child, and I also had asthma, and I was 4F. I don't know what I would have done had I had to face that decision that day.
My guest is David Marinus. The book is They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. He's a Washington Post editor. Are you still reporting, David?
I am. I'm writing books most of my life now, but I still do reporting for the Post, and I'm doing some on the presidential campaign.
Oh, I have to talk to you about that. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek at 7:30 Friday night, and Friday at noon he's going to be at a BookBeat luncheon at the Denver Press Club, and you don't have to be a member to attend.
I should also say, if you don't mind, that a person that I consider to be the hero of the book, who is Clark Welch, a soldier who fought in the battle and tried to talk the brass out of doing what they did that day, is going to be at the, he lives in the Denver area. And he will be at the Tattered Cover that Friday night.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, I'm urging people to go. It'll be a wonderful evening. Now, before we say goodbye to you, you have to tell me what the juicy stuff is on the campaign trail. Because we want anybody but George W. Bush to be reelected.
Or he wasn't
even elected in the first place.
I think if there were a candidate named anybody but Bush, he would have a great chance right now. I think that in some ways people are trying to make that person Wesley Clark, maybe investing more of their own hopes into that than the reality of the person. And I think it's a totally fluid race still with four or five people, not just Howard Dean and Wes Clark, who are now seem to be.
Well, but
president.
You know, the administration can cook up a war or some kind of a terrorist or something to frighten the American people and manage to slide in for another 4 years. I mean, that's not an impossible scenario either. What do you see happening?
I'm not quite as cynical as you are, Enid.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I like the Lily Tomlin line. She says no matter how cynical she becomes, she still can't keep up.
Oh.
Tell me what, if you're looking at the tea leaves, what do you see?
I see President Bush to be vulnerable, and I think that will remain the case. I think that, you know, there's always a possibility that there'll be another traumatic terrorist incident in the United States between now and then, and that could change the dynamic some. I'm not as cynical as you are about sort of wag the dog theories.
And you live in Washington, right?
Yeah, I do, but I'm from the Midwest, so I'm naive.
Where in the so am I?
I'm from Madison.
Oh, West. And I'm from Michigan, so.
Okay.
I used to be more naive, maybe.
Uh huh. I tried to maintain some of that just to stay sane.
Well, you've done a wonderful job, and the reviews have been fabulous for the book. So congratulations to you.
Thanks.
You're a wonderful writer. The book is They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. My guest, David Marinus, has won a Pulitzer Prize, continues as an editor at the Washington Post. You should read his biography if you're a Bill Clinton watcher, First in His Class. I loved the book. I thought it was a wonderful book. David Marinus is going to be at the Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30, Friday night, along with one of the soldiers. Did you say Clark Welch?
That he
profiles, that he talks about in the book. And you can also meet him at a Denver Press Club book beat luncheon noon at the wonderfully restored Denver Press Club. You're going to have a good time there, David.
Oh, yeah. I was there with the Lombardi book and had a great time.
Oh, they're a good bunch. And if I weren't on the air, I'd be there. I would be there with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Enid. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
A pleasure to talk to you, too. Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
A station built by Coloradans for Denver and Colorado. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
You can lose all the weight you want with the right weight loss plan. And now the plan is available to you without a prescription. Introducing All Natural Ultra Carb, the only total weight loss system guaranteed to melt away the pounds by using your body's natural carb-blocking, fat-burning mechanism. Ultra Carb is a two-step system that starts by blocking the carbs in many of the foods you love, like pasta, pizza, and bread. Next, Ultra Carb goes to work burning fats contained in everyday foods, like cheeses and the oils contained in just about everything. Your body can then go to work on the fat it's been storing, allowing you to lose 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes in a month. You can lose up to 20 pounds in 4 weeks. Best of all, Ultra Carb is guaranteed to work or your money back. Call right now and get a free month of Ultra Carb with your order.
Call now for your 60-day risk-free trial of Ultra Carb. 1-800-451-6432. Lose up to 3 pant sizes in the next month. 1-800-451-6432. It's guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra presents violin superstar Midori, performing Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto and more. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 24th, 25th, and 26th.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:26 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I have a lot to share with you. First of all, I want to bring you up to speed on the woman who's in Florida. The feeding tube was removed. Her husband went to court. The court said, yeah, you can remove it. She's been in a coma or what they're calling a persistent vegetative state for 13 years. And then it became a political hot potato. And, of course, politicians, never wanting to miss an opportunity to pander to the public, rose to the occasion and managed to get the – and Jeb Bush – who was supposed to be the president in that family, not George W., who was probably too loaded most of the time and too much of a flop most of the time and too petulant some of the time to do it, ordered that the feeding tube be restored to the woman. Well, the husband is vowing to fight it, but it gets even worse. It gets even worse than that. The family, apparently he won all this money under a settlement to rehab her, and he hasn't spent a dime of it. And now the family of this disabled woman, who is under treatment by orders of Governor Jeb Bush, is barred from seeing her because the husband won't allow it. Is this amazing? He's not related to this woman by blood, and who knows what the state of their marriage was before this happened. And the family, the people who love her, gave birth to her, who are related to her genetically, are prevented because this jerk won't let them see her. I mean, whether the tube should be removed or not removed is another story, but to not allow the family come in to see her is so mean. It's mean to the family. And this guy is just a jerk. Anyway, he is her official guardian, and he can designate who's allowed to see his wife. She's gone without food and water for 6 days under a court order that allowed her husband to have the feeding tube removed that has kept her alive for more than a decade. Anyway, attorneys for the parents and for the brother of the woman were turned away when attorneys for parents said that the brother was turned away when he attempted to see his sister. It's not clear what condition the woman was in, you know, having not had a feeding tube for 6 days. So they've restored the feeding tube, but, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows? Who knows what she... They say there's videotape that her eyes can follow a balloon and that she can smile, and some people say that that's just a response, just a physical kind of... reflexive kind of response, and that doesn't mean anything. I also want to alert you to the fact that tomorrow morning on the Greg Dobbs Morning Show, Representative Dave Schultheis and Representative Terrence Carroll are going to debate gay marriage. So I don't know if they're going to get married to each other, but they're going to debate the issue. We'll see. And, oh, this is so juicy. I don't know where to start. Rush Limbaugh, you know, if you're a Rush Limbaugh kind of a Republican, or what do you... purports to be. Who knows what he really believes in? He knows what he has to say in order to make a good living. But in any event, you don't want to have money for rehab, and there is very little money available for rehab if you're not as rich as Rush, and you want to get into rehab. It's expensive, and there's not a whole lot of public monies for it, so you got to do it on your own. And we had an expert on here in Denver, because Denver's had a big drug problem. And if you want to go to support groups, you go once a week, and you got to pay for it yourself. What is it, 25, 30, 35? I don't know. So if you don't have a lot of money... I don't know how much you get from a support group only once a week when you have a severe drug problem. I guess it's better than nothing, but it doesn't sound like it's much more than a palliative in any event. Rush is in a Tony joint, it looks like, and this is from the New York Press that one of you sent to me, so I hope this is more credible than some of this other Rush stuff we've had. But in any event, he had been in detox twice before at a sort of secretive place in Manhattan, that's supposed to detox you in 24 to 48 hours. And I, you know, maybe they can get it out of your system, but I don't know that that addresses nothing with nothing of the psychological problems that caused you to be a junkie in the first place. But in any event, let's see. He has been put himself in overnight detox twice at the sterile, business-like, highly secretive Addiction Recovery Institute in Manhattan. But the rehab facility he's rumored to have checked into now for 30 days, Sierra Tucson, which will neither confirm nor deny that Limbaugh has checked in, is just outside of Tucson in the Sonora Desert, a setting with, quote, quiet beauty, inherent strength, and enduring ability to inspire, as described on the facility's website. For a guy who has railed against anti-people New Age mystics, the treatment modalities at Sierra Tucson are certainly enough to make his hair stand on end. It is also likely that Limbaugh is being treated alongside the very Hollywood types he has railed against for years, people who check into discreet, upscale rehab centers in the desert, but tell themselves and their friends that they are doing a spa vacation. So here's what you can get at this place. Sierra Tucson utilizes many different types of therapeutic modalities to assess the underlying issues. That's what they, this is a medic speak for, I don't know what exactly, but it's $1,000 a day roughly to be there. And let's see, and what they offer is everything from psychodynamic role-playing and yoga to adventure therapy, climbing wall, the desert experience, and equine-assisted therapy. I guess it's a lot of horse pucky, bonding with horses. Limbaugh may just think he died and went to feminazi hell. The website depicts photos of people with a decidedly Berkeley look sitting around on the floor in what seems like an edition here of Kumbaya. And I don't know. Anyway, so they've got all this like New Agey stuff in the joint where he is checked into, if he is checked into that place. And the facility is neither confirming nor denying, but it's in the desert and it's around Tucson. Okay, the news at hand. Let's get right to it. Rumsfeld's War on Terror memo. This is a memo that the Defense Department Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has sent out on the War on Terror. He's asking a lot of questions, and what he's saying here is that things haven't gone all that well. He's saying that the questions I've posed to combatant commanders this week, are we winning or losing the global war on terror? Is the Department of Defense changing fast enough to deal with the 21st century security environment? Can a big institution change fast enough? Is the U.S. government changing fast enough? And then he goes on to say, he says, we're having mixed results with Al-Qaeda, although we've put considerable pressure on them. Nonetheless, a great many remain at large. The U.S. government has made reasonable progress in capturing or killing the top 55 Iraqis. U.S. government has made somewhat slower progress in tracking down the Taliban, and so on. Have we fashioned the right mix of rewards, amnesty, protection, confidence in the U.S.? Do we need to do things in a new way? And what he's also saying is that, we are trained here to fight big armies, navies, air forces. Is it not possible to change the Department of Defense fast enough to successfully fight the global war on terror? So, in other words, here we are, have been a great lumbering instrument. But the question is, what can we do to fight terrorism? And he's saying, and he's admitting, that we are having mixed results on the war on terrorism, mixed results with Al-Qaeda. Now, in the New Yorker, the new New Yorker, which is really interesting, there's a piece, anytime there's a piece by Seymour Hersh, I perk up and look at it. And what it is the question, he's answering, trying to answer the question, who forged those phony Niger documents that alleged that Iraq was trying to buy enriched uranium from Africa, from Niger. And there is one theory that says it's the work of disgruntled former CIA officers who were steamed about the way the Bush administration handles intelligence and hoped that the obvious fakeries would expose a weakness of the Bush team's analysis. And what Hersh is saying in this long but interesting piece in the New Yorker this week is that the way intelligence usually comes through an administration and gets up to the highest levels, to the president, for example, it gets vetted at various levels. They don't just take raw data and shove it up to the president. They analyze the data to make sure that there's credibility, to make sure that the stuff stands up, to make sure that it's an accurate picture. But the way the president and his minions have done it is they want to bypass the CIA entirely, and they want to get that raw data themselves, which is then subject to a great amount of misinterpretation. And that is what has been going on, according to Seymour Hersh. It's a process called stovepiping, where stuff goes right to the top without being properly vetted. Well, as you can imagine, the intelligence community is furious about it. They don't like it one little bit. Van, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, Van.
I just wanted to give you a call. I had sort of an interesting realization this past weekend about Rush and Hollywood.
Tell me quick.
Hollywood, when movie making business is really the truly only unregulated business in the country. And, you know, everybody's talking about free market this, free market that, but it's interesting to me that when you truly have a free market, you end up with Hollywood.
Oh, that's a good point. All right, there you go.
Yeah, now he's got to hang out with those Hollywood liberals.
Oh, listen, he's going to love every second of it. They're in drug rehab for perpetuity. Thanks, Van, for the insight. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 83 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. Brooks Brown, a former Columbine student and acquaintance of Columbine killer Dylan Klebold, says it's disturbing to see the video that was just released by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. The video is part of a larger release of documents related to the shooting investigation and shows Klebold and Eric Harris, the other Columbine shooter, taking target practice in the weeks before the school massacre. Lakewood police continue looking for Stuart Gaskin, a suspect in the weekend shooting death of Richard Farley. Farley was found dead in a stairway outside an apartment at 6th and Vance. Gaskin is described as 5 feet 10 inches, weighing 175 pounds. He has a shaved head and thin black mustache. He's also said to have a panther tattoo on his right bicep and is missing some of his upper teeth. Lakewood police are asking for the public's help. If you have any information, call the police. Colorado Lottery is urging people to gamble responsibly now that tonight's Powerball drawing is up to $162 million. The folks at Colorado Lottery say you shouldn't spend your whole paycheck since the odds of winning are 1 in 121 million. Today marks the third day of testimony in the capital murder trial of D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad. The day began on a surprising note when Muhammad asked the judge to reinstate his defense team. Another shocker came when alleged accomplice Lee Boyd Malvo was led into the courtroom and one of the survivors of last year's sniper shootings identified him as most likely the person who shot him. Terry Schiavo, the severely brain-damaged Florida woman, is back on life support. Florida Governor Jeb Bush intervened in the case, signing an emergency bill to restore feeding tubes to the 39-year-old woman. Schiavo's sister told ABC's Good Morning America today that Terry would never have wanted to die a starvation death. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld isn't counting on a speedy withdrawal from Iraq or Afghanistan. USA Today reports that on October 16th, Rumsfeld circulated a memo to Pentagon brass stating that the U.S. will have to spend a long time in both places. In sports, the Denver Nuggets continue the preseason tonight against the Rockets in Houston. Nuggets have a 4-2 record in the preseason so far. The Edmonton Oilers come to town tomorrow night to play the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs lost 4-1 to the Boston Bruins last night. And it'll be the end of an era tonight as Roger Clemens takes the mound for the New York Yankees in what will likely be the last start of his Hall of Fame career. The Yankees take a 2-1 lead into tonight's World Series matchup with the Florida Marlins. Taco Bell serves up quality ingredients like the grilled all-white meat chicken in the freshly prepared Zesty Chicken Bowl, available at participating locations. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:39.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC News Time is 2:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores and Nestle. Accident-free at this hour. You've got some problems. Westbound I-70 at West Colfax. C-470 between Ken Carl and Wadsworth. And you'll also see some construction due to XL. Northbound Spear between 8th Avenue and 10th. What's your favorite? Nestle Crunch, Butterfinger, or Baby Ruth? At Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores, buy two and get one free, including Nestle's new Toll House Cookie and Brownie Candy Bars. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Record highs again today. We did break the record yesterday, and we should this afternoon with sunshine and a high of 84. It's mostly clear tonight, a low down to 50. Another hot day Thursday, mostly sunny, 83. But finally, much cooler by Friday, mix of clouds and sun. Little breezy with a high of 59. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 82 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you ready for winter? Ready for the freeze-thaw cycle we go through every winter? Or maybe I ought to say the freeze-thaw cycle your home goes through. This is Greg Dobbs saying that if you want to protect your home from that cycle, or for home remodeling or handyman jobs as well, call Ironclad Painting, which uses premium paint from Benjamin Moore. It's a family-owned business that's been here in Metro Denver for more than 20 years. You don't stay in business that long unless you're there for your customers, and unless you guarantee the quality of your work. Ironclad does. Everything is guaranteed for 5 years, some materials for life. You can trust Ironclad Painting. So protect your home with Benjamin Moore premium paints by calling Ironclad. An estimate won't cost you a penny. Here's the number, 303-347-8099. Again, 347-8099. Please tell them Greg Dobbs said to call. 347-8099, Ironclad Painting, home of Benjamin Moore premium paints and the Ironclad Guarantee.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages closed deep in the red following a batch of disappointing profit reports. The Dow Industrial sank 149 points to 95.98. The Nasdaq lost 43 points to 1898. The S&P 500 fell 16 points to 1030. Big board volume was about 1.6 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a more than 2-to-1 margin. Merck was the Dow's worst performer, tumbling 6.5% after missing quarterly profit estimates and saying it will cut 4,400 jobs. Fellow drug companies Shearing Plow and Wyeth also missed quarterly profit targets. Shearing Plow sank 88 cents. Wyeth lost $2.50 a share. On the plus side, Lucent Technologies easily the day's busiest stock, and the NYSE's top performer climbing 13.5%. This after Lucent posted its first quarterly profit in 3 years. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:43 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours just for, 16, 17 minutes more. Here's what we're talking about in this hour. If you're just joining us, you've missed a lot. But better to get some than none at all. So come on over, noon to 3 a.m., 1150 KNRC. You've missed David Marinus, Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post author, but you can meet him Friday night at the Tattered Cover at Cherry Creek. He's got a brand-new book. Or you can go to the BookBeat Luncheon at the Denver Press Club at noon on Friday, and you don't have to be a member to go to those. I think it's just a little bit more expensive. I think it's $15 if you're a member and $18 if you're not. So it's not a big deal, more expensive if you're not a member. And I think you'll have a wonderful lunch. We're talking about Rumsfeld's memo, where he is talking about how the Department of Defense has had mixed results with Al-Qaeda, mixed results with what's going on in Iraq, also Afghanistan, talking about a lumbering large army, trained to fight other large armies and navies, and should we be lighter, faster, how do we reconfigure the Department of Defense in a time of terrorism? In the meantime, there is a couple of things. First of all, the Pentagon is launching a formal investigation into statements by a high-ranking Army officer that casts the U.S. fight against terrorists in religious terms. This is an evangelical Christian whose name is William Jerry Boykin. He's a lieutenant general. And I think that he can't effectively function in the position where they have him now. I just think he's insulted too many people, and he's got to go. And I want to say this, too, and I want to explore this further, although we don't have a whole lot of time to do it. But it occurred to me that you've got this radical group of fundamentalists who have really hijacked the American government. You've got the Wolfowitzes. You've got the Dick Cheneys. You've got these neocons. You've got George W. Bush. And it's not substantially different from this group of fundamentalists who slammed into us in 9/11 and trying to hijack democracy or have tried to hijack Islam, a kind of Islam. But you have two fundamentalist, ideologically radical groups fighting each other, whether it's the Osama bin Laden crowd or whether it's the Wolfowitz crowd. They're fundamentally the same. They're not different. And what do you think of that proposition? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. That in both cases, you have Islam and you have democracy hijacked by a radical group of fundamentalists. What do they have in common? I think probably more than they have not in common. They're just ideologically driven, and we are the captives of these people who have lied to us, who have deceived us in every way. And now you have this general who ideologically, you know, here's the State Department, which a year before we went into Iraq talked about what the problems were going to be. It looks like it was eerily prescient, this report. What the problems were going to be, it was completely shelved because the Department of Defense, run by these ideologues, they thought that they didn't need to pay attention to it. They had their own way. They had their own view of what was going on. And look at what they have gotten us into. And if you listen to David Marinus, I asked him this question. Here, all these years after Vietnam, should we have gone in? What do we get for all those lost lives, 57,000 lost lives? A country in turmoil. What do we get from it? He said, you know, there are people who think that maybe it helped to end the Cold War, but he really felt that we didn't get anything for it. But how do you tell that to the families of people who died or who were among more likely? And I know people like this, the walking wounded. Our neighbor's son went to Vietnam. He's never been the same. Never been the same. He's an alcoholic. He can't hold a job. He has been a mess for all of these years, an absolute mess. I mean, it is so tragic. He didn't die, but his whole soul did. 303-382-1150. John calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you for putting a voice of moderation on the radio. Get so tired of listening to those right-wing crackpots when you're driving around that you can't hear anything other than that until your channel has recently been a godsend that we hear something of moderation. And I couldn't agree with you more. There was a New York Times article linking George Bush to Osama bin Laden and basically making the analogy that which one was the more evil, and it wasn't too long after 9/11. And I remember having a comment with my pastor saying, because he took exception to it, and I said, wait, see who kills more innocent people. And I think we all know where the score stands now on that one. Yes, Paul Wolfowitz, for those that have not read his Pax Americana pieces, they need to get informed on what a far-right crackpot this guy is. They need to know. And I absolutely agree that we got fundamentalists on the two sides that are so far opposed that there is no common ground for them, and they never will be able to figure out how to come to peace with one another.
I want to say something, and this is not my idea, but I went to hear Michael Moore speak last week when he was in Denver at DU, unreported by most media except for the Rocky Mountain News and for us. He was saying that if you poll Americans in general on most social issues, Americans are pretty moderate. They're pretty moderate. They agree with that. And so here you have these fringe loonies running the country, and we are allowing them to do it. We are allowing ourselves to be hijacked by these radical nutballs that are in charge of the government.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Mr. Ashcroft, he just absolutely scares me that what he thinks of our personal liberties and stuff. And what I've seen, and I flew a couple hundred missions in Vietnam and spent 26 years in the military, so I'm not crazy that the right wing might think I'm a crazy because I'm a pacifist or anything. I've paid my dues. I've been shot. The guys that haven't paid their dues, the Bushes and the Quails, people of that ilk that have hidden out from the real combat, those are the guys that show so much false bravado.
That's right.
They
dress up. It's a costume party. They come in on the deck of an aircraft carrier with the socks stuffed down the front of their flight suit. You know, you're so vain, and they're the ones sending our children, our loved ones, our brothers and our sisters, our aunts and our uncles into a battle that they, when they had the chance, as Dick Cheney famously said, he had more important things to do. I thank you, John, for the call and for your service. 303-382-1150. Bruce calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi,
Bruce.
I'm really vehemently against the war, as you are, but I also feel like to compare even the nutballs like Ashcroft and this undersecretary to Osama bin Laden and the Taliban. I mean, that's the kind of comparison that Rush Limbaugh likes to make about the left.
Well, what I want to say is that
Ann Coulter likes to equate liberalism with treason.
Yeah, but
to equate John Ashcroft. Okay, well, no,
I didn't say John Ashcroft, but you are saying John Ashcroft. What I'm saying is that that you have a radical fringe running the government, and not so unlike the radical fringe that they are at war against. There's a radical fundamentalism, and in that respect, they're perhaps more alike than they are different.
But I think that even just to say that they're more alike than different, to me seems, and that's exactly the kind of thing that the right now will call us on. I mean, that will appear in a sort of right-wing lexicon of left-wing idiocy, that the idea that you can equate what the Bush administration is doing with what right-wing...
Well, you and I can disagree on that, but and clearly you don't agree with me on it, but that's okay.
Well, what I'm saying is it's so hyperbolic and so silly.
I'm not so sure I think it's as hyperbolic as you think it is, Bruce.
Well,
I unfortunately come to that conclusion. I don't want to come to that conclusion. But in some ways, if you read Paul Krugman in the New York Times, he's always making that analogy, and I respect him tremendously. I think he's a terrific economist.
Oh, I do, too. I think he's a terrific economist as well. But, I mean, explain to me, give me one specific example of an actual policy that has been effective in the United States that comes close to what extreme Muslim fundamentalism in Afghanistan has done there.
Well, I think the analogy I would use is the extreme fundamentalism that resulted in 9/11 and the extreme fundamentalism that is attempting to combat 9/11 are very close to each other in scary ways. And I think we're going to leave it there, Bruce. And I thank you for the call. 303-322-1150. I'm Nina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
We don't have to call San Antonio or Atlanta to get permission like some Denver stations do. Local talk, both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, he's a happy guy. He just found out how to get the very lowest price on all his insurance coverage, home, health, life, and auto insurance. And he didn't even have to leave his home or office to do it. All he did was go online and click on netquote.com. He knew there were several quoting services to choose from, but he soon found out there is no quote like a NetQuote. They've been quoting lower rates from the nation's leading companies, saving insurance seekers thousands of dollars since 1989. You can trust NetQuote for reliable service that'll save you plenty. And best yet, the service is yours at no cost. That's right. It's free. Just click on NetQuote.com for your best net result. Great insurance at a super low price. You can be a happy insurance shopper, too. Click on NetQuote.com right now and discover for yourself that there's no quote like a NetQuote. That's NetQuote.com.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Belcaro.com.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Reserve your tickets now for historic Denver's 33rd annual dinner and award ceremony Wednesday, October 29th at the Brown Palace Hotel. This event recognizes individuals and companies who are preserving and protecting historic properties. This year's recipients include First United Bank and the Auditorium Bond Issue, and the event will be emceed by KNRC radio host Jim Condor. For more information and to make reservations, visit www.historicdenver.org.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Line
Colorado with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
256 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yours for just a few more minutes until 3 o'clock and Doug Kellett takes over. Let's go to the phones. Gary in Castle Rock. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, this is Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, I'm just hoping that, you know, I haven't caught the whole conversation, but I'm hoping that that you were against the war in Bosnia and all that stuff, too, along with what Bush is doing in Iraq.
No, I wasn't against the war in Bosnia, but tell me what your point is.
Well, the point
I'm not
is,
against all wars, and I wasn't against the war in Afghanistan, either. Were you?
Why weren't you against the war in Bosnia? I mean, isn't it killing innocent people there, too?
Tell me what your point is. Instead of asking me 20 questions, we don't have much time left, so tell me what point you'd like to make.
My point is, I think, as most people on the left wing, they're hypocrites, that when a Republican is in office and there's a war, then they're against it. And when there's a Democrat in office and they start...
Gary, do me a favor and try and use, I know this is going to be hard for you, but try to use your critical thinking facilities in case you have any left. Why did we go to this war? Where was that? Was this a direct threat? Was Saddam Hussein a direct threat to us? Where were the weapons of mass destruction?
Exactly.
Where?
I
mean, it was...
I agree with you 100%.
Are you in favor of the war with Iraq?
Of course not.
Okay. Then we agree on that one.
Okay, but you know what? Where is all the same cause and all the worry about Bosnia?
Bosnia was a different issue for me. Bosnia was more like a Holocaust issue for me. There was genocide going on there, and it was pre and it was
all over the world.
Yeah, that's true. And it was too. And it was pre 9/11. Post 9/11, the universe changed. Maybe I might not have been in favor
Africa,
of it.
Then? There's a bunch of genocide going on in Africa.
So what did you do? Did you call me up to tell me that we agree on Iraq and that I'm a hypocrite? Was that the point of this phone call? Refresh my memory.
The point of that phone call is you are a hypocrite.
Oh, so that's why you called me up? You took all this time to call me up and tell me that although we agree on something, I'm a hypocrite?
I just wanted to point out how you were. I had to point out
and how you have to listen every single day in order to document what a hypocrite I am?
Actually, no, I don't, but I just kind of was in the car and I kind of turned
And you could not resist because it's such compelling radio.
I can't tell somebody that they're not a hypocrite.
Of course not. All right. Thank you, Gary, for that kindness that you are so freely dispensing here. A couple of other things. We had Nicholas Davies on, who is one of Princess Diana's biographers, and I just want to give you the latest on that. We had him on from London the other day, and I have covered both her wedding and her funeral in London for a number of different outlets, newspapers, magazines, television stations, and so forth around the country. And first of all, there's going to be no inquest. The fact that there's been no inquest in her death, and he and now her butler alleging that this was a plot from British intelligence to keep her quiet, that is to kill her. And also, the palace is apparently very worried and has called in lawyers over the matter, but no inquest. They say there's going to be an investigation, but so far there's never been one, and it's only been 6 years since she died, so why hurry now? And they refuse to give a date. They say it'll happen, but sometime in the vague future. I have a lot of people to thank today. Joe Anderson, thank you for doing a fine job producing the show. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, as usual, doing a superb job keeping us on the air and getting the music together. Thanks to all of you who called and who listened. And let's do it again tomorrow from noon to 3 right here. Start your day with Greg Dobbs. He's got a wonderful debate going on tomorrow morning on gay marriage. So tune in for that 6 to 10 in the morning. 10 to noon, O'Reilly. Noon to 3, me. 3 to 6, Doug Kellett. 6 to 9, Dominic and Billy. Do something generous, will you? Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'll see you tomorrow right here at noon on AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150. KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 82 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by your Greater Denver Area Toyota dealers. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has released the video showing Columbine killers Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris taking target practice in the weeks before the 1999 massacre. Judy Brown, whose son went to Columbine, says this video raises a lot of issues.
But the question about this tape, they've released this tape, but the real questions are, kids said that they saw this in the school. Our question is, did the teacher see this? Did the teacher alert the dean? Did the dean know? Did he alert the